popping. It's the Tuesday show. Back to work. We're in the grind now. Oh, boy, it's tough. Trudy, you're really in the grind.
I know.
How bummed?
Whoa. I don't know. I still got that energy.
Do you?
That hasn't all worn off yet. So.
Do you get MLK Day off?
I don't think so.
What?
I haven't looked that far ahead.
Trudy, it seems like you're a new employee. Like you're 23 or something.
Sometimes it's an advantage to act like you're still a new employee and you don't know any better, so.
Okay.
But we don't have a Sheila who goes around and tells us things, spoon feeds us like babies.
I know there are a lot of less bodies in radio stations these days, but I won't harp on that. Hey, we're on WLZ too.
Yeah.
LaDuff told me he listens to us on Sunday morning. And he's going out to get things, and then when he's driving to church.
That's what I said to him. I said, what are you doing up that early on a Sunday?
I thought that was strange. But yeah, we are still on 106.7 WLLZ on Saturday and Sunday morning, in addition to the regular podcast. And we're going to be on Facebook Live with Matt Farley in a few minutes. Matt is the prolific songwriter who's written such wonderful songs as Scarlett Johansson Farts.
Ah, the best.
Ferndale, Michigan. Royal Oak, Michigan. Rochester, Michigan.
Farmington Hills.
He's written more songs than anyone in the world.
Most prolific songwriter, yes. According to Guinness, at least.
Now, that doesn't mean quality-wise, necessarily, but quantity-wise.
Well, they're all quality.
They're the best.
Well, they're all full songs. It's not like he, you know, does a song called A and a song called B and a song called 1, and it's three notes.
Hey,
they're all songs.
Endorsed by Jim Belushi.
That's right.
Jim Belushi
endorsed. He loved me.
How did that happen?
That's right.
We played. Yeah.
Jim, he loved it.
I know, he kind of loved it too much, I thought. Sort of freaked me out.
Well, he was at his farm, wasn't he? I don't know.
That's true.
He smokes a lot of dope. No, Jim was nice. He was really nice.
Also endorsed by, who's the big singer now?
Oh, Billie Eilish.
Oh, yeah.
Under her fingernails.
Also in the Wall Street Journal, right?
That's pretty cool.
I ran into this great song that the Toilet Bowl Cleaners did. I didn't even know he had this one. Have you heard this one? It's great.
Brad Pitt poops.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's kind of bluesy, though. Poop.
It's very bluesy. It's really cool.
He might be the world's most handsome dude.
Yeah.
But still, Brad Pitt poops.
And he looks good doing it.
Really? You sure about that, Trudy?
I don't know. He looked pretty good yesterday at the clothing.
Well, he wasn't pooping then.
No. Well, it could have been. How do you know?
Brad Pitt's pretty cool. I tell you,
I really
enjoyed that movie. And I like those guys together.
Yeah.
And they seem like, you know, DiCaprio laughed at Jervis's.
Jervis.
You make me so mad. You told off Hollywood. Yeah, DiCaprio and Brad Pitt were great in the movie. And they both seem like cool guys. And Ricky Gervais really butthurt some people. Tom Hanks looked very butthurt.
Yeah. He was wounded to the soul. God, you're right. Your tweet was so right. He is so soft.
I think his inner monologue is, my night's being ruined. It's supposed to be my night. I'm the Cecil B. DeMille winner.
How could that Felicity Huffman joke bother those people so much? She's in prison for what? Trying to cheat her kid into college.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pathetic.
I laughed out loud at that one.
You had a good theory.
I thought it was funny.
Trudy had a good theory.
Oh, my theory is that Tom Hanks is mad because he's probably doing the same thing with his kids. He's just not getting caught.
Oh, you're probably right.
He nepotized them into showbiz.
Didn't Chet Hayes go to Northwestern?
Chet.
That's Hanks' kid, right?
Yeah, the rapper, Chet Hayes.
He's the best.
Did you see the video Chet Hayes put out
yesterday?
No,
I didn't.
Oh, okay. Let me find it for you.
Well, Colin is...
Colin's a success.
I know. Nepotism... I swear it's at an all-time high. I've had it.
Is Colin Hanks really that great an actor?
No, but
he gets out of nowhere.
He's pretty good.
He's pretty good. He's okay.
He's a big director, too.
He's a big director of what?
But it's because he's Tom Hanks. If he wasn't Colin Hanks, if he was Colin Fellhauer, he would not be doing what he's doing.
Well, yeah, but it opened a door, but he had to keep that door open.
He had to learn how to act because his dad was never around, so he had to act, you know, happy about him being home.
Well, Matt Farley's done it the old-fashioned way. He has earned everything.
He's
not related to Chris Farley.
It's from Chet Hayes' Instagram. This is Tom Hanks' son.
Big up
Big
up the whole island massive. It's your boy Chetana coming straight from the Golden Globes. You
apparently he's half Jamaican now.
It's the father Tom Hanks presenting in a while soon forward come. Big up, tune in.
Oh. Isn't that cultural appropriation?
Yeah, I was going to say. Seems to me he should be canceled immediately.
So does he crack the entire family up like that? Does that little actor?
His mom might have posted how
he laughed obligingly.
When we get to Facebook Live, it'll be brought to you by Lover's Lane. And I have three ways to shop for all your sex essentials. 35 store locations. Yeah, really attractive women trying all that stuff on.
God, they all look great.
Loverslane.com or the all-new SexDrive.com. SexDrive.com features high-quality sex toys, vibrators, fun and exciting couples toys. And the most erotic apparel anywhere. Try something new in the bedroom to celebrate the new year. Check out SexDrive.com, powered by Lover's Lane. And we will be opening the Hall Financial Hotline shortly. Is there anything else on the Hall Financial Hotline besides, what's our friend's name up in Canada?
Oh, yeah.
Stan,
yeah.
Charles, okay, bye.
Charles Ramsey.
Oh,
we can't find his number, Trudy.
What?
Charles went off on me.
Yeah.
Remember? He went off.
He wanted money.
Yeah.
He
was drunk, I think.
Oh, well.
Do you guys remember that very well?
I don't have a remember.
We're talking about the guy, the three women that were kidnapped.
Yeah, gave away.
And kept in the house in Cleveland.
Ariel Castro.
He's a next door neighbor who freed them all. And he's really funny and memorable.
You know, I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms. Something is wrong here. Dead giveaway. Dead giveaway. Dead giveaway.
How come he should have copyrighted Dead Giveaway?
Well, hell yeah.
He could have made millions.
Yeah, that was the name of his book, too. Yeah.
I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms. Dead giveaway. Dead giveaway. My neighbor got big testicles because we see this dude every day. We eat ribs with this dude, but we didn't have a clue that that girl was in that house. She said, please help me get out. Dead giveaway. 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 Dead giveaway.
Whoa.
No, he didn't do this, right? Somebody else did.
Somebody else did. This is probably the best one that we've seen.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's really good.
Well, what's his name in, what was Louisiana, Hide Your Kids? That one was pretty good.
Oh, Antoine Dotson,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was funny. Okay, Hall Financial. We're going to open the Hall Financial hotline. And
draw that.
Maybe we'll call Stan. Okay, bye. Here we are in January. Mortgage interest rates are really good. If you are 4% or above, you really should go to drewandmike.hallfg.com. And you should ask them to see about a refi and see about saving money for years to come on a mortgage. Mortgages go on and on and on and on. We'd like to save money every month.
Didn't they say interest rates are coming down?
They've been down for quite a while.
As a result of whatever happened over there in Iran?
You know, I don't know what
it had an effect. I read that the other day on mortgages. Interest rates.
Is that bringing interest rates down?
I don't know. Mortgage craziness? Interest rates, possibly.
We'll talk about that wildness in a second. And the Golden Globes and Matt Farley. But first, Hall Financial does take special care of the podcast listeners. We all know that. And they move fast. They're extremely efficient. They average 19 days to close on your refi. So you'll be saving money in 19 days. That's pretty good. And you can, if you've got credit card debt, you can consolidate it. You can put it into your larger debt. And all of a sudden, hey, I just got one bill. And maybe you can even keep it close to the same as someone just recently did. David Hall and Hall Financial, NMLS number 1467435. You won't be disappointed. 248-308-5000 or click the link on our website.
Here. Yeah, giveaway.
At the Drew and Mike Show.
They just did one for ML. Because he had another little rental property.
And he was amazed. How many houses does he have?
I know. And he was amazed they could do it considering he's unemployed.
You piece of garbage.
Pretty interesting.
He said it's a little trickier when you're unemployed.
Yeah, those things do become more complicated. Or when you're self-employed.
But he finished his notes, and the first one is up. It's probably a little dated.
Yay.
Second one coming soon. Third one.
Slow down.
Hopefully coming. I'm still waiting on the notes for number two.
How about that?
Let's see.
Okay. I wanted to talk about before we get to Matt Farley, I just wanted to mention that it seems, are we getting hysterical in this country? Is everybody, because I keep seeing World War III trending everywhere on Twitter and social media. And there's stories out today about, oh, my God, these Gen Z people think they're going to war.
Do they really, though? Or are they just joking around?
There were some funny quotes of people who really seem like they don't know what the fuck is going on. Does no one know any? No, I know. We have a volunteer army.
Yeah.
Trisha Arquette was a little... overly concerned, possibly less.
Send her over. Let her be on the front line.
Does it have to come from somebody who looks like that? I mean, do you have to wear those goofy glasses?
What's going on with her boobs?
I was
going
to say, glad I saw boobs.
Yeah, really? Pretty soon, her just boobs are going to walk up. Her head's going to get smaller and smaller. It's just a pair of boobs.
Well, her and Selma Hayek. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Selma Hayek. Wow. I want to go through the ladies.
I want to squeeze them.
I thought there were some really, it seemed like it was a bad dress competition to me, but there were some beautiful people who looked fantastic, as always. But anyway, going back to Iran, I feel like there's just a little bit of a disconnect because, you know, as I read more and more about it and find out that, well, yeah, we killed a guy, a pretty bad guy, and he kills a lot of people and stuff. And then as the day wears on, I'm on CNN and they're showing these shots in Iran where it appears the president just literally said, okay, everybody, you have the day off. Go in the streets and chant death to America. Everyone!
Yeah.
Really?
And so the entire country, nobody's working. Nobody's mining uranium for the nuclear weapons that they hope to make.
Yet.
They're all in the street chanting death to America because they think this terrorist we shot, or we shot, no, we didn't more shoot him. They think he's
shot him with a missile.
Apparently he's a pretty cool guy to them. What's the disconnect there?
I think, what's his name now? Rouhani.
Somalia.
What's his, Salmanilli?
Soleimani.
General Salmanilla.
Soleimani. Kasem Soleimani.
Kasem.
Yes.
Q-A-S-E-M. Casey Kasem?
Sort of, yeah.
Casey Kasem Soleimani.
Yeah, he could have, he could have counted down a couple pretty big hits.
I'm very upset that we didn't point out yesterday how hot he thinks he looked.
Oh, for sure. Definitely.
I know.
And there's no doubt his go-to outfit is that general military outfit because you don't see him in anything else. That's all he ever wore was the one jacket with the little logo on the where the epaulets would be up on the shoulder.
This is with Iranian guys and logo jackets because...
Oh, that's right. I'm a Ahmadinejad had the members-only jacket.
Members only. Yeah. Here's the best thing for members-only.
Do you remember what... No, Udan Kusay were in Iraq.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't it seem a bit extreme? I mean, if this guy... I mean, unless... Because I don't believe anything anymore. I think that anything I hear could be a lie.
Sure.
Because, you know...
Oh, that's good.
I know. It's terrible. It's horrible. Yeah. It's like, well, what website did it come from? Oh, okay. Oh, it's probably bullshit. Or it's probably leaning this way or leaning that way. But... It seems that most people are in agreement that this guy is a really bad guy. So, but in Iran, the whole country is apeshit. I mean, they're losing their shit over this one guy. Hmm. Apparently, to them, he's the best guy ever. Mm. Death to America. We must all die. I still want to
cheer. Dwayne Johnson. He's their Rock.
It seems that way, Brandon.
Ah, boy.
Must be.
I really want to chant death to Iran just because it doesn't seem like everyone chants death to America. We never chant death to anyone.
Yeah, they're not very original.
We're better than that.
I like you guys. Speculation.
No, we're not.
I'm trying to talk about Iran.
That the paper mache industry is a huge
it's a prereq.
Yes.
When they go low, you go high.
You can't graduate without that
effigy making.
Truly.
Everyone is in the street, and it's crowded in the streets, except for the effigy factories are running three shifts.
Yep. Churning them out.
That's about it.
Churning them out.
But I saw where, you know, Israel, of course, is so pumped about this. The UK is giving us props. There was an editorial I was reading this morning. It was saying that, and this might have been, was this the UK or maybe it was Israel? It was talking about how Osama bin Laden and al-Baghdadi were both leading groups that were in decline, whereas Soleimani... is arming and enabling enemies of America, as we speak, to kill troops and allies.
So, he died like a dog.
He's not into, I mean...
He's trending now.
Think of bin Laden when we got him. I mean, he was hiding in that stupid house
with... Played out.
Yeah, he played out. Yeah. Exactly. You love that term. It was nice. I like that term, too.
It was.
Al-Baghdadi? I don't know. I don't know what to make of this, honestly. But I'm trying to have some patience. because
sorry you died.
Well, that's why people are up in arms. They're just fearful of a war breaking out.
Right.
I just don't think here. I was thinking about it today. I don't think a war is going to break out because I don't think Iran's going to do anything because they know how nuts Trump is and would just obliterate them.
But they do have nukes. That kind of scares me a bit.
They can't reach us.
They just true. And they just exited the program. So we know they've been living up to all the rules.
Of course. Yeah, right. They haven't been doing anything in secret.
Yeah, they haven't enriched a thing.
Put yourself in as much in their shoes or as you can. And, you know, they're sitting there going, well, God, is that crazy just to launch a missile at Salmonella? They, you know,
no,
what's he going to do if we even put our hand near a button?
You know, honestly, throughout my entire life, whenever anyone starts threatening us, I feel like I take on the mentality of the ugly American, like, ha! Like, you're going to win that one, asshole!
Yeah.
Iran, yeah. Iraq, whoever, fill in the blanks.
We do have a pretty good record.
We've done very well, and we've got a lot of firepower.
I mean, Vietnam was a draw, I guess.
Yeah, when it gets into the, you know, the jungles, it's pretty tough. I tell you what, let's get a break here so we can be all ready for Matt Farley. Trudy, can you take care of Zot and Dr. Roche?
Sure. What are you going to do?
that early show dump again.
I think I'm going to go take a couple of bites of food. All right, you. Oh, breaking news. Tua from Alabama. I don't even know his
name. No one knows how to pronounce his last name.
He's going in the draft. If anybody cares.
Cool. Maybe the Lions can get him.
We also have the breaking news on the ABNN.
I know.
And we'll get the sounder ready after the break.
Cool. Fun, fast, simple, and easy experience, all while saving you fat stacks of cash. That's what our friends and studio sponsors, Deals at the D, are all. Deals at the D in the D.com. Sorry.
Here goes Drew. Oh.
Want to save time, saving money? Do you want to have fun while having a fantastic experience?
Yes.
If yes is your answer, then you want to visit Zot Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, Zot Ford, or the best-kept secret in Detroit, Zot Toyota. Because that's where Thad Zot, Jeff Schneider, Todd Zot, and Steve Gabaro take great pride in rolling out the red carpet to Drew and Mike listeners, all while making buying or leasing your next new or pre-owned vehicle the most refreshing thing that you'll do in 2020. Go surf their ridiculous deals and massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And tell them Drew, Mark, Trudy, Brandon, and Zeus sent you.
Yeah.
And you can create a new you with these specials from Dr. Roche. Specials that create a brand new you in this new decade. Don't get a case of the post-holiday winter blahs. Instead, focus on creating the best version of yourself with specials on procedures and treatments, like 10% off all surgical procedures. Anything that they perform.
Anything?
Blepharoplasty to...
Anything.
Anything.
You, that's all you care about.
A butt lift, breast implants, 10% all surgical procedures. Get it all done at the same time. You can combine procedures too. Saline breast implants. Also save on Diva vaginal therapy, 3 treatments of Diva. Regularly $4,500, now on special for $3,500, and you get the free G shot, which is a $1,200 special. And the saline breast implants are $3,500.
All right.
And
nice.
Dr. Roche is an expert in reshaping and making you look your best.
I've been doing it for so long.
Right. If it's not implants that you're interested in, you can also get a breast.
You don't want to go to a newbie doctor.
Oh, no, some hack that just got started.
You don't want to be the first rack that doctor's worked on.
Can you imagine how many racks he's handled in his lifetime, Greg? Professionally, yeah. As a professional?
Well, and I know this is quite a few every week. It's a lot of weeks.
He does a lot, doesn't he, to make everybody look better and, you know.
No, he really does. It's actually, that's the kind of job that people will be in tears because their lives have changed because their nose has always driven them crazy. Yeah. Or they've got, you know, maybe it's somebody who's got, you know, a terrible scar on their cheek that they don't like.
Yeah.
And those lasers now, they can do a lot about that.
Oh, yeah, they
can
that
put
right
fillers
out.
In and so, or... You know, I remember when they started doing stretch marks, which are a bummer.
Right.
And there was, for a long time, they couldn't do anything about them. And tattoos, too. They take tattoos off.
I saw somebody the other day with what they call a pregnancy mask, which is a bunch of pigmentation that happens when you're pregnant. And it doesn't go away. And Dr. Roche can get rid of that as well. Smooth out and brighten up skin. Broadband light, 3 treatments of corrective and photo revelation, 3 of those. for only $1,000. You're regularly $23.25. And Restylane, Zerona, Botox, and Dysport, all of that. Plus 10% off surgical specials. Just give him a call for a consultation.
I can't even keep up with all the specials.
Well, I mean, he does.
God.
He does.
Trudy, is he giving you 100% off of this read?
No, I haven't been there for a little while. But 248-338-1110 to schedule a consultation. No, actually, he did hook me by, I would do interviews with him, and just his explanation of all of these different procedures and how they're performed, and the fact that he attends so many conferences to know how. So.
Yep. Yep. Okay, who looked the best at the Golden Gloves?
Oh, Selma Hayek.
Selma Hayek
looked incredible.
Without a doubt.
God, are those natural boobs?
They're natural enough
like
for me.
They seem like they have a lot of give.
They're very globy.
Yeah.
They're very globy. They were. I thought.
Although that one movie has kind of ruined her, the Frida Kahlo movie.
Wasn't she hot in that movie?
She was a huge bush and a unibrow. Yeah. Like, I just assume that's her now.
Now, isn't it weird that unibrow was a normal thing?
I know. Well,
no, nobody messed with their eyebrows 20 years ago.
That was her hook.
Really?
That artist, yeah.
I guess.
So J-Lo, you didn't think
good.
I did not like her dress.
That big
that
bow?
Giant bow?
She does something dumb like that every single time.
I know. I didn't like the original, oh my God, look at J-Lo dress. The one, the green one.
Really?
That green thing? No, because first of all, she doesn't have gigantic tits. And it just was, I don't know, it just seems stupid to me. It's like, first of all... I don't know. Do you want to be with the girl that's wearing the dress that was going, oh, my God!
Oh, in that
world. In that world, okay, I guess.
Don't wear that outfit again.
I don't know. I just didn't think it was that hot. I think she's hot. She's incredibly hot. She still is.
Trey Parker wore it well.
Yeah, he did.
I'm just
She didn't like that either.
No.
She was not happy.
I don't like that this pantsuit look is in
me either.
Pantsuits. And it wasn't just...
Oh, you know what?
It wasn't just Ellen DeGeneres and Kate McKinnon, if you know what I mean. It was
Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Yeah.
Well,
by the way,
people, too.
Terrible outfit.
You know, she had this really open thing, and she's not really got breasts. I don't get that look.
Okay, so this one, Greta Gerwig. I know nobody knows who
that is. That broad.
She looks like she's being bound.
Her swaddled.
Yeah.
Is she an actress?
She
was. Now she's a director.
Director
she did
who
that
didn't
one.
Get recognized.
What was that one movie she did that was huge? A year or two.
Yeah, name's
ago.
Familiar.
With Saoirse Ronan.
Yeah.
Lady Bird.
Lady Bird. That's a good movie.
And Ronan was showing side boob. Did you see that?
Yes.
She was a child 5 years ago.
Was it side boob?
Saoirse Ronan.
Sure. A lot of side boob going on.
Good luck smelling it, man.
And then.
I thought Kerry Washington looked great, but I
did too. But that's another weird look. It's like,
so what?
Why not just take the jacket off?
Because we wouldn't see her. We wouldn't see it.
Be topless.
Yeah, I can't complain. She's beautiful. I don't know. I think there's other ways you can rack up.
Right.
But
yes.
she was braless, obviously.
Yeah.
It was kind of good. I guess it was. I mean, what am I seeing?
Now it's time to find out which film takes home the Golden Globe.
She's got a lot going for her. I thought Sienna Miller looked great.
Mm-hmm.
Margot Robbie.
Oh, yeah.
Stupid she outfit, did. Though.
I know. A lot of these outfits were still... I thought there was an ugly dress competition last night because I thought J-Lo's was dumb. I thought... I didn't like ScarJo's dress at all.
Charlize,
I was not fond of that.
Looks like she tore hers getting out of her Uber on the way in.
Do you know how much is this dress worth?
What about Gwyneth?
The see-through thing?
That's kind of hippie.
I mean...
It's okay.
And she, her face looked orange to me, too. Did she have too much tanning stuff on or something?
Probably. Oh.
You know, why don't you get a flowery dress?
I know I'm being incredibly catty here, but
goop.
I'm just going to carry on.
You thought that they were trying to make Scarlett Johansson uglier?
Seemed like... There was almost a competition, like, what can we put her in, do with her hair to make her look the worst possible? Because it's hard to make her look... She didn't look bad.
Yeah, her,
but I didn't like her hair all pulled back really tight like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think she looks great all the time, but I didn't think she looked so great last night. Cate Blanchett, the puffy arms, like Deb and Napoleon Dynamite at the prom, except bigger. I like those puffy arms. I like your sleeves.
Like Michelle Williams?
I see you drinking 1%. Is that because you think you're fat?
Michelle Williams, she passed somebody wearing this giant pink thing, and I feel like I'm hungry for Starburst right now. I took a picture of the TV. I mean, it was like, what is that color?
Yeah, it's like an orange, like a pale orange. And she was standing next to Tiffany Haddish or somebody who was bright pink.
Great speech, by the way.
There's your Starburst reference.
Somebody said she looked like a Tide Pod.
You weren't moved by her speech?
No, I was not moved.
It's a little weird that there's been major celebrities up there talking about the abortion they had to further their career while that person is pregnant, by the way.
I know. Honestly, if she wasn't even pregnant, at the fact that she wants to... I mean, I thought she won a great award. I thought she'd go up there and be happy, but she wants to talk about aborting kids for her career. Yeah, I killed a kid a few years ago. No big deal. And I'm pro-choice. I'm not trying to be Mr. Pro-Life and be an asshole about it. But
hey, kids out there, if you want to be a big star, kill your kid, too.
If you got the role of your life, with choice, you can knock that kid out in 10 minutes. Suck it right out.
You have another one later.
Just like I am right now.
You and that monster that's in your gut down to Mexico ASAP.
Busy Phillips was crying.
Oh, guys, I know.
I noticed that last night. The awe.
She's crying because she didn't kill her kid and she lost her show. I'm sorry. That was over the line. That was terrible.
I noticed.
Well, who said that?
On many occasions, and it just really annoyed me, the awe with which, you know, people look at the person on stage with, like, when Tom Hanks was up there, it was Jason Bateman. Jason Bateman, like, oh my God, he's unearthly. The speech is incredible. I'm learning so much. It's so sincere.
Same age, aren't they? Yeah, Charlize.
Oh, yeah, Charlize almost collapsed because Tom Hanks
nailed her, right, in that audition. That's what I got from that story.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah. I need 5 minutes, guys. Charlize, come with me.
Jason Momoa, was he the most out-of-place-looking person at that event?
Because
at one point he took his jacket off and he has a tank top on.
Was it Zoe Kravitz? They both looked like they didn't belong.
Yes, sir.
They looked like they should have been at the MTV Awards, maybe. But let's see. I know I wrote down a bunch. Oh, Eddie Murphy's wife always looks incredible. And he always looks so cool, too. I love Eddie.
He's pretty cool. Cool cat.
This is terrible. When Succession won something, they panned by this woman who's clapping. I think she might have something to do with it. Oh, my God, did she have some reaction going on? I tweeted it out, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did.
Who is she?
I don't think I think I was a little circumspect about why I was tweeting, because I didn't even know her name. And you had to pause the TV at just the right place.
You also didn't know Ewan McGregor, but he did not look like himself.
Are you talking about this girl?
Oh, that woman. Yeah. Who is she?
Okay, that's Brian Cox's woman.
Cox's woman.
Okay. I mean, look at that rack. That's a natural rack. It's really.
Like she's taking a picture of it right now, too.
Yeah.
So
good for her.
She's tweeting it.
So let's see. Oh, I thought I didn't like Taylor Swift's dress. Although it was nice of a record company, they let her talk. They wouldn't let her sing last night, but they allowed her to talk.
Why was she? Oh, she was in Cats. That's right.
Oh, was she?
Oh, the joke about Cats. Oh, my God.
What a dumb,
that was the greatest
movie.
I still can't believe that people were butthurt about Ricky Gervais. I can't. Do we have him queued up? Billy Porter?
James Cole.
Billy Porter's queued up, yeah.
On TMZ
Do you
want to
play
today?
Ricky first? Or
No, let's just play. I think most people, you think, how much of our audience? We'll play Ricky coming up. But Ricky basically said, his wrap-up was, here's what you didn't accept the award. Thank God. And the first guy got up there, thank God, right away.
Well, he said, thank your God. And the guy came up there and said, thanks to my God. Although he did say Allah Akbar. So.
What was his name? Yousef?
He was great.
What's his first name?
Remy, yeah.
Remy. He was funny as hell. He's on a show on Hulu. And he said as he started talking, he goes, I know none of you know who I am.
None of you have seen my show.
Yes.
Normally I get sick of award shows, but the Golden Globes, it's pretty entertaining.
It's loose.
It's usually loose. A good show.
But Ricky said, thank your God, thank your agent, and shut the fuck up and get off the stage, or something to that effect.
Yeah.
So, and you know what? I think Ricky Gervais, I think he played to America very well. Mm-hmm. Because I think there's a lot of people who watch this and go, oh my God, these self-involved people telling me what to do, what to think. Like Michelle Williams, did it dawn on her that, you know, there's a lot of pro-life people in America?
She didn't care.
No, I know she doesn't care, but I think they think they're winning that room. And if you win that room, and that's one thing you learn in radio.
But going back,
is that you got to be thinking about the larger group of people at home.
Yep.
Who maybe want to get on to the next award or...
Oh, God, all this talk about abortions is making me super wet.
Or maybe, you know, abortion isn't really on your mind at that moment.
Well, that's what is so weird about what she did, because, like you said, it's a big award. It should be this great, happy moment.
Yeah,
and nothing brings down any room, either there or in America, than talking about abortion.
And I get annoyed... Two, Michelle Williams, can we just, do we have her audio separated?
No, I can.
Okay. You know, well, we'll come back to it. We'll play it. She goes on to say something about how, you know, we're the biggest voting block and we need to put our own needs first. Men have been doing it and it worked out pretty well for them.
Yeah,
it's like, wait, hold on. Are you telling me you know why men vote the way they vote? That no man ever puts the greater good over themselves? That we all go in there going, hey, let's do what's right for men. I mean, it was just such an oversimplification, and it's like, fuck are you talking about?
I know, as if no men have ever had daughters and that they might want to vote of how
it's really annoys me. And here, you know, a lot of people are sitting at home worrying about paying their bills, being lectured by this poor downtrodden female making $10 million a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, really? Has it really been that tough for her? Is she really, well, I mean, she just sucks babies out when they're not convenient and has them when they are and gets these great jobs and, sorry.
And to the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, when you put this in someone's moment. Hands,
congratulations.
You're acknowledging the choices that they make as an actor.
Oh, what an honor.
Imagine
the choices.
Day by day,
yeah, fuck
but you're
you.
Also acknowledging
already.
The choices they make as a person.
No, you
the
don't.
The education they pursued, the training they sought, the hours they put in. I'm grateful for the
really?
Acknowledgement of the choices
get,
I've made.
Get the
and
fuck
I'm
over
also
yourself.
Grateful to have lived at a moment in our society where choice exists because as women,
believe me,
and
she
as
would
girls,
not be my first choice.
Things
that
can
I
happen
can
to our bodies that are not our choice. I've tried my very best to live a life
pause
of
for
my
a second.
Own making, and not just as.
Isn't birth control somehow,
available?
I mean,
readily
to her. She's only what 42, 43. Would she have had a lot of options?
Beyond her childbearing years,
she was a but she was a star before. I would assume she even got.
She was on Dawson's Creek when
she was a
what?
Child star.
Okay,
besides, she had the best baby of all, Heath Ledger's baby. Quit it.
But
don't have to move past that. That's perfect.
For a second there, I wasn't sure. Was she talking about the choice to have give birth or have an abortion, or the choice to use contraception? I think she was talking about contraception. Was she
to when to have a child in general? But we all know what she's really talking
series
about.
Series of events that happened to me, but one that I could stand back and look at and recognize my handwriting all over, sometimes messy and scrawling, sometimes careful and precise, but one that I had
about?
Carved with my own hand. And I wouldn't have been able to do this without employing a woman's right to choose.
It's busy Phillips crying.
To choose.
Why is she
when
crying?
To have my children.
I thought she was at an award
whom,
show.
When I felt supported and able to balance our
blah,
lives,
blah,
knowing
blah,
as
blah.
All mothers know that the scales must and will tip towards our children. Now, I know my choices might look different than yours, but thank God or whomever you pray to that we live in a country founded on the principle that I am free to live by my faith and you are free to live by yours.
Yeah.
So, women, 18 to 118, when it is time to vote, please do so in your own self-interest. It's
I
what
agree.
Men have been doing for years.
Well, go fuck yourself. How do you know why we vote?
How do we know women have it?
Let dudes watch, because...
There's a lot of women who aren't pro-choice.
It's what
they're
men
pro-life.
Have been doing for years, which is why the world looks so much like them. But don't
Wait,
forget,
but you're
we
standing
are the
up
largest
there.
Voting body in this country.
Can't
Let's
talk
make
over
it
her.
Look more like us.
She just won an award.
Tommy and Matilda, I can't wait to come.
The one I'm looking at is making a shit ton of money, making movies, doing
yep.
exactly what she wants, and again, you know, popping babies out and getting rid of them when she feels like it, and I mean,
I
it's
agree.
All working out pretty good.
But she had to buy that dress at the Salvation Army, though. Kind of sad.
I don't know. And Busy Phillips. Should I get started on Busy Phillips? Should I get busy with Busy?
We don't have the time for you to get started on Busy Phillips.
I'll make it quick. Busy Phillips.
First of all, Busy. Is your name really?
I guess it is. I think it is her real name.
Oh, come on.
Anyway, she's had some character type roles. You know, she's well liked. And all of a sudden, she's a talk show host. What? I mean, that's kind of the way I took it. But it's on E, so I figure, you know, they're going to maybe build and see if she's got the chemistry or she's got the wherewithal. And pretty quickly, it seems that, I don't know about this. Reviews aren't very good. And she starts bitching a couple weeks in that, what's going on in Tonight Show? If we have someone, then, or they have someone, then we can't have them. What's that all about? No, it's only the way they've been doing it ever since there were late night television.
And she could have them, but they're just going to get them first is the point.
And they also have bigger audiences. And that's how it works. It's not fair, but it's not because she's a woman, which is what she kept implying. Then she attacked women stars for not coming on her show. Why is Meryl Streep going on with Jimmy Fallon? She'd be supporting me. I'm a woman. And
life is so unfair.
Because she has busy, because she only has a couple of, you know, hours in her day to do this kind of thing. And she's not going to make all of your shows. Sorry.
Well, she got Julia Roberts, Kim Kardashian. She got some really big women. She was texting them directly. People were trying to help her get these.
That must have worked.
It didn't. Her ratings went. When it started out low, went lower. And then they canceled. And then she bitched out the management because the management, she called, her agent said, she's been canceled. You're going to do another month. And so she immediately calls like the head of E. He goes like, oh, when you're ready to talk about it, we will. And she's like, that's terrible management.
It's actually really good management.
Well, anyway.
Start your own network.
So the show ends. And then she's saying, well, I'm going to take it to another network. Stick it up your ass. And so far.
What's she doing on that?
Has not happened. Hasn't happened, although she shared a letter that her daughter wrote about how fucked up the E! Network is.
She'll have a podcast.
She will.
She'll have a podcast any day.
Okay, so Matt Farley, is he upon us? No? We call him?
We can get him whenever.
Oh, whenever. Okay. Oh, I thought we had a hard...
Oh, we did.
I don't think he's going to be able to see us. We're going to try to Skype him in, and
exciting new technology for the show. We never Skyped, have we? No filter does.
Very, very hard. Because we're trying to do it for, Facebook.
We Skyped Pager one day.
Pager! Well, let's do this. Ricky Gervais, as I mentioned, he really sort of ripped Hollywood a new ass for about 8 minutes. It was extremely funny, and he wrapped up by saying, thank God, thank your agent, and fuck off. Mm-hmm. And I've been reading all day people saying how funny they thought he was.
Yeah.
And he was loosey-goosey. He says, my last show, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And generally when people don't care, it works out pretty well for them.
It does.
Doesn't it?
It's true. Yeah.
He is the best host they've ever had for the Golden Globes,
He's my favorite.
Easily.
And I thought he nailed it, because I think a lot of people, the reason the ratings are declining year in year, I mean, they have really declined in the last 10 years, and there's a lot of reasons for it. But one of them is, a lot of people feel that Hollywood is terribly self-righteous, and they get kind of sick of hearing about, you know, even if they're good causes, like, do you really think you're educating me as you accept this fucking award? About climate change? Is this where I'm going to learn? This is where I'm going to decide to vote Republican? Well, not Republican, of course. Democrat, if I'm watching you.
You're going
to
have an epiphany while you're watching?
Yes, while I'm watching Michelle Phillips, I'm going to have an epiphany. And I'm going to stop making it all about me.
God, I wish.
So here's Billy Porter, who's really angry at me. He didn't like Billy. Didn't like that.
On his way back home, this is what he had to
TMZ.
Say about Ricky not wanting the celebs to get political, which, by the way, they did. They did.
Artists have been at the forefront of change since the beginning of time. So this new version of Shut Up and Sing, or whatever that
well,
is,
Ricky said, yeah.
is not right. Excuse me. We got to get It's not right. That's the point. That's what we're here for, and that's what I'm always going to do. So if not now, when? This is the platform. That's what we're supposed to do. We are artists, and we have a say, too. We have a say, too.
Yes.
Just because we're actors and singers and writers and producers doesn't mean that we don't have a say, and we're not stupid. We're actually really intelligent people.
Oh, really?
I have two doctorates.
So here's my issue with this.
That's two doctorates?
Can he write scripts?
Get over yourself. Oh, my God. First of all, it was a joke.
Yes.
Is he working
people
the emergency
laughed.
Room?
Not only that, is that really the platform? Is that the platform?
It's an award show.
No one's trying to silence anybody. I mean, you can't do it in today anyway.
It's not going
to
happen.
But it's an award show. It's supposed to be a show. It's supposed to be entertaining.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be uplifting.
Yeah.
Well, you're supposed to be able to laugh, make fun of, you know, people's outfits, and
exactly
go to bed.
Are you stunned that he's so upset about it? Isn't that weird?
No, I'm not stunned. No.
Has anyone else popped off about that today?
I haven't seen anything. I honestly expected, I didn't watch Good Morning America, but I expected them to have the backlash against Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen that anywhere.
And for the record, Billy Porter's 2 doctorates, they're honorary doctorates.
Asshole. Are you kidding me? Oh, Brandon, I'm so glad you looked that up. What a jackass.
He didn't get them for intelligence. He got them for...
for being a good actor, I
guess.
Because
he's a Tony Award winner.
Okay. Yeah.
So he has to tell us how intelligent he is and that he has 2 degrees, and he doesn't. They're fake.
Honorary.
Oh, my God. What a jerk. That's We're great. Artists.
That's awesome.
Artists are very intelligent. Okay, so you said it all there. You guys are on another level from us mere mortals out watching you assholes on TV. Said it all.
How can we possibly grasp? What does he do? Wait, what show is he in?
Brandon.
About that.
Dude, Brandon has not stopped farting since he got here at noon. No, we need to go down this line.
He was also the host of the New Orleans version of the
Anderson Cooper show.
He was in Dick Pose.
Clark,
he
won the Secret New Year's Eve.
Pose, right?
He won the Emmy for Pose.
Oh, okay.
So earlier today, I had to go to the bathroom, and Brandon's in there. He was in there for like a half hour.
He's also got a couple singles, some songs.
I said, Brandon, are you almost done? And he comes out. And
4 albums.
And I said, is it going to stink in there? And your quote was, why don't you give it a shot?
That means it's going to stink.
I started laughing, so I put on the gas mask, and I go in there, and I go to look at my phone, and of course, it needs to see your face recognition, so I had to take off the gas mask that goes over my nose.
Oh, boy.
I about threw up. I had to get out of there immediately.
I think I walked downstairs into a cloud of Brandon's fart going up.
Oh, it's been thick and nonstop today. I don't know what you had last night or earlier today, but it's been bad.
He's thinking about it so he can have it again. We're hoping he doesn't.
He farted on the mic waiting. He can record it, and he's been slowing it down and speeding. You know,
it's support. This one.
That almost sounds
was that normal speed?
Yeah, that's no filter.
So wet.
Did you like it better when it was slowed down?
Well, Mark wanted me to stretch it out because it was kind of short.
I wanted to hear it. I wanted it to be.
Okay.
Sorry for the distraction.
Why don't we, before we call Matt, can we get Matt at a moment's notice?
He's been waiting for us. We told him, you know, 40 minutes ago.
Okay, let's
do it. 20
minutes
ago.
Let's do it. Remind me, we need to go to the ABNN, the Antonio Brown News Network, immediately after Matt.
All right, let's give him a shot here. Let's see.
I hope this works. A lot of communication back and forth.
As seen in the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
No one's read because of the paywall.
I know. I thought somebody would fight their way past.
There he is. Hey,
Matt.
Is he frozen?
Maybe.
Maybe he's just very still.
Maybe that's a still shot. I don't know.
Well, I thought he's really bummed out for a second there.
There he is. He's waving now. Hi, Matt. Can you hear us?
Hey.
Smile.
How are you?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Who can you see right now?
Great.
We have a million different cameras. Not sure which one of us you can see. Describe the individual.
I only see myself right now.
Okay, then the camera might not work. Just a heads up. You might not be able to see us.
Can our audience see Matt?
Yeah.
Cool. Matt, congratulations. The Wall Street Journal?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Huge.
Poop in my fingernails was that, that phrase was put in the Wall Street Journal because of me. I'm so proud.
That's pretty cool. And Billie Eilish loves that song.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
I know. You are. I mean, you're known. I saw you on a clip on The Tonight Show, and I was like, wait, that's Matt Farley. Toilet bowl cleaners Matt Farley. I didn't know he got on The Tonight Show. And then, of course, the thing came out about you having composed the most songs of anyone in the world. And it's like, oh, well, that all makes sense.
No joke. The Tonight Show appearance got me way less feedback than my appearance on your show.
Really? Are you serious?
100% true. I'm not joking at all.
You know, I love our audience.
Yeah. They're rabid.
They're very.
I've written songs for at least 300 people in Michigan because of you.
Wow. Okay. Why don't we give out the information? If you want Matt Farley to write a crazy song for you, how would they contact you?
They can call me 603-644-0048.
Say it again.
603-644-0048.
Have you composed a song about your information for...
My phone number is in many of my songs, so I get calls all the time from confused people.
Matt, what is the most obtuse song you've ever written? I know that's an impossible question to answer. I mean, what is it, crap in my fingers? Shit in my fingers?
Poop.
Poop in my fingers. But you've written a song
about... I have a whole album about office supplies, 93 songs about office supplies. That's pretty out there.
Really? Can you give us one of those? Or do you not know it?
I don't know how to play most of my songs.
Okay, what are you ready to play?
I'm ready to play one of your old favorites, Scarlett Johansson Farts.
I love this song. Classic. Great song.
Yeah, wow.
This is playing the hits.
She's so pretty and she's so great, acting in movies, singing songs by Tom Waits. She is the woman of so many men's dreams. Sometimes she releases stinky steam. Oh, where is that stench coming from? It's coming from Scarlett Johansson's bum. Oh, where is that stench coming from? It's coming from Scarlett Johansson's bum. To Scarlett Johansson farts. Scarlett Johansson farts. When a woman is so poised and so pretty as she, and is a famous and talented celebrity, you think that God created her with so much wisdom that he decided not to bog her down with a digestive system. But where is that stench coming from? It's coming from Scarlett Johansson's bum. Where is that stench coming from? It's coming from Scarlett Johansson's bum. Cause Scarlett Johansson farts. Scarlett Johansson farts.
Yeah! Wow. Oh, sweet!
That was gorgeous.
Now, if the Toilet Bowl Cleaners were to play live, would that be the encore or the opening tune? Or
that's a good question. That would be pretty late in the set, I think. You got to build a groundswell of excitement.
Have you ever gotten any feedback from a celebrity or famous person that you've done a song about, either as the Toilet Bowl Cleaners or any other version?
Someone who knows Evan Rachel Wood told me that she's listened to the song I wrote about her. That was pretty cool.
Did she approve?
Yeah, she follows me on Twitter now, so that's pretty cool.
Do you know the song?
He can't play that one. There's no way.
I don't know how to play it. Yeah, probably something like, "Oh, Evan Rachel Wood, you're so wonderful. You're such a good actress, and I love you on all the movies that you're in." Something like that.
Yes. We've had a lot of fun with your Michigan songs. Since you have a song about Ferndale, where we are, you've got Rochester, you've got, and you start talking about the library, and they have a local police force, and it's like you're reading a Wikipedia page.
Yes.
Yeah. So I write the music ahead of time, and then when it's time to do the vocals, I just bring up the Wikipedia page. I hit record, and I'm just like, their zip code is 24718. Yeah.
This may be a little controversial, but you have used the same tune for different songs before, haven't you?
Yeah, I feel guilty about that. But then I'm like, come on, as if the someone from New Jersey is going to know that I recycled the tune for a Michigan song. But yeah, some people have figured it out, so that, you know, I don't do it anymore because I don't want to lose any artistic credibility.
How did you land? We can't get past the Wall Street Journal paywall. Hopefully someone in our audience will get past the paywall and print it and send it to us. But what was the occasion for the Wall Street Journal doing a piece on you?
He's got the actual paper.
There it is. He just got it handy.
Yeah, there it is right there.
Oh my God. Look at the.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Look at the column space.
The family delights of silly poop songs.
So the journalist discovered the poop songs from his daughter, and then he sent me he then wrote a poem called Armpit Farts, which he sent to me, and he said, "My daughter and I love your music, and we wrote this." So I just happened to be in the studio when he did it, so I immediately put it to music and sent it back to him.
Wow.
And then I discovered that he was like a pretty big writer, you know, several like best-selling books and whatnot. So I said, "Hey, if you're looking to write a story, you should write one about this.
And he did.
Can we hear it? Can we hear that song?
I know. I can do armpit farts, I think.
Well, oh, he's,
I
know, got, he's got a book full of songs.
Are you getting much feedback from the Wall Street Journal, or would we top the Wall Street Journal for feedback?
No joke. Nothing compares to your show for feedback. I've gotten two emails from the Wall Street Journal so far. That's and otherwise, it's just silence. I'm just sitting here refreshing Twitter. Over again.
That's really funny. Do you go on many radio shows, big radio shows?
No.
Not really? I mean, you've been on The Tonight Show. I just figured you'd been in a lot of shows because I saw that. But, yeah, we should hook you up with some of our
little,
friends.
Little moments of, I guess, NPR. NPR was pretty big. In 2014, On the Media did a story on me. So that was the biggest besides you guys.
NPR is huge. Absolutely.
This is called Armpit Farts. Lyrics by Jonathan Egg and his daughter. Music by me. Armpit farts, they're not silent, they're not deadly. armpit farts, try them on your belly. They're armpit farts, armpit farts. It goes on, but you get the point.
Hey, what's the longest song, time-wise, that you've written?
I have a 22-minute song about doorknobs called Doorknobs.
I don't want to hear that one.
Is that online?
Yeah, it's by a band called Unfurnished Projects. It's the only song by that band.
Speaking of which, are you going to finish the other half of your basement?
No, when we moved in, this is what it looked like. And
good enough.
I'm not selling enough poop songs at this point.
Is that whole cabinet baseball cards?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Nice. So you're making a living as a musician though, right?
Yeah, and 2019 streaming earned me $56,000.
Yes.
Pretty cool. Oh.
And then you sell the songs. How much does it cost if let's say I got a friend that's getting married and they'd love to have a goofy song to play at the reception or something or just for fun. How much would it cost them for you to write a song?
$65.
Wow.
That's quite a deal.
Really good.
Yeah, and we get great feedback. Anytime somebody seems they'll send it to us or they'll send a note and say, oh, my God, we love the song. They all sound really happy with them.
Yeah, people are surprised because I really get deep. They send me facts like he likes pizza, and then I'll write back what type of pizza and from what location does he like the pizza. I want it really. It's good for rhyming, too, if I have a lot of options.
Yeah.
How many streams does it take to earn $56,000?
About 14 million.
Oh my God.
14 million streams.
What was the most streamed song? Do you know?
Scarlet.
Well, Poop in My Fingernails just hit a million. And the poop song is getting close to 2 million. Those are the two front runners.
Really?
Can you give us, we got to get moving along, and I know you do too, but can you give us a little Poop in My Fingernails just so we can hear a little bit of the million stream song?
I don't know how to play.
You don't know how to play that song?
Bring a song.
Oh. Wow. You got a million streams.
I'm really just focused on the next song. You know, like the football team. We're on to Cincinnati.
How many songs have you written?
20,000 plus a few hundred on top of that. Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, play anything on the way out, and we'll bid you farewell. Play yourself out, Matt.
Oh, poop. Poop, poop, poop.
Matt Farley, as seen in the Wall Street Journal.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah. Thanks, Matt.
All right. See you, Matt.
Thank you.
Oh, he's great. He's a funny dude.
You know, we really have not plugged the fact that he does the songs except a couple times.
Yeah.
And yet all these people, that's great. We'll hope he gets a few more.
That's cool.
And he has a movie, too. Doesn't he have a movie on
that's right.
Amazon? What it was called.
What in the hell is his movie?
I've seen some of it. Oh, balls. I'm sorry, Matt. I'll have to find
his basement.
I know. I couldn't stop looking around his basement.
Did he have like a games area where it looked like little kids' games or something like that all stacked up, or were those baseball cards?
He had a bunch of baseball cards stacked on top of
I was fascinated
cabinet.
By what was going on in the background.
He had some Pringles that looked like he got from Costco because it was a big old box of them. Oh. And in the back part was just unfinished, no drop ceiling.
Right.
It looked like quite a few baseball cards.
Yeah, it was great. What a good dude.
Okay, let's see. You know, I talked to Sherry at the Detroit School of Rock and Pop because we owed her a few commercials for January. And I wanted to find out, you know, some more things about them. And I was digging into their site, and it turns out they do a lot of other stuff besides putting bands together and teaching and, you know, putting adults with adults, which that's what they were looking for. They're looking for adults, you know, who are kind of not frustrated players, but people I don't even want to play with. They put bands together. They also put together the chorus for Foreigner when they were in town with Kid Rock.
Oh, was that them?
Yeah, Want to Know What Love Is?
Oh, right.
Yeah, they did that. And Sherry said it was an absolute blast.
Oh,
and they've got a really sweet studio right in Royal Oak. So, you know, when you say the Detroit School of Rock and Pop, some people probably think, oh, it's probably, I've got to drive all the way down. No, it's in Royal Oak.
Centrally located.
It's on Washington Street.
Oh, yeah.
And, and they get some musicians of note that go by there to record tracks and things. So, you know, it's not just a little...
Oh, it's not a cultural
center. They've been doing this for a while, and they're very good at it.
Ah, cool.
And hopefully, if you want to play music or you want to find people to play music with, you will look into the Detroit School of Rock and Pop. Hmm. And now I've lost their copy.
You could be the next Matt Farley.
You
by
could.
The way, the movie's called... It's called Freaky Farley.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
You know what it's about?
Like a it's a horror comedy parody, it said.
So okay. A feature-length movie?
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
I guess, yeah.
Call Detroit School of Rock and Pop at 888-988-ROCK. 1-888-988-ROCK. Or visit them online at www.detroitschoolofrockandpop.com. And Sherry and the gang, Sherry and her husband. They've been doing it for a while, and they have a lot of fun over there. And if you love music, it's one of those things, I think it's a community you would probably really enjoy hanging with and making music with. So there you go. And they're an advertiser. So they're at the big time. Okay, let's go to Ricky Gervais, since he raised so much hell at the Golden Globes.
That's the one with TV people and movie people in the same room.
We got some clips of his monologue. I thought it was brilliant, I really felt like the people at home were laughing,
sure.
And we had a few people around the TV, and everyone was laughing. I thought it was a fabulous monologue, even though the people in the room didn't like it.
Well, they were the butts of the joke, so.
But they weren't the butts of, I mean.
Shouldn't they be the one people that are able to laugh at themselves?
Right, couldn't they
entertainers?
Act?
And, yeah, can't they act like it's funny?
Leo did.
What was worse, this where he kind of torches the whole audience, or when Norm MacDonald did it at the ESPYs?
Well, that... I thought they were both hilarious.
I think
Norm got over better, though. Didn't they?
No,
the crowd did not like Norm. In fact, there's like the infamous shot of like, you know, Tiger Woods.
Ken Griffey Jr.
It
was a
yeah.
disaster. He was the Tom Hanks of that one.
Oh, Ken okay.
Griffey Jr., yeah.
Yeah, Tom Hanks had that sour face. It's like there wasn't a joke in there about Tom Hanks. He's really that upset
on
behalf
of
other
night,
people.
Drew.
I want to play the clip of him crying, by the way. I think he was fake crying.
Yeah, me too.
It's a cold message.
I agree.
I think it's his second fake cry, too. The other one was when he said, I wish I had the same kind of babies. Same kind of
I wish my babies could have the same sort of teacher, the same sort of friend.
I think my theory was, though, that he lost his place, and so he pretend like broke up. You know, he had to pretend that he was breaking up so that he could think of his next
line. That's a good
line.
Point. Cold medicine has never made me cry.
No, me either.
It was weird. It was like he just turned away. Next thing you know, it sounds like he's crying. But anyway, here's Gervais. This is what kicked the whole night off on a great note, I thought.
But you all look lovely, all dolled up. You came here in your limos. I came here in a limo tonight, and the license plate was made by Felicity Huffman. So, no. Shush.
Oh, get over yourself.
It's her daughter I feel sorry for, okay? That must be the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to her. And her dad was in Wild Hogs. So,
tonight
is just about the people in front of the camera. In this room are some of the most important TV and film executives in the world. People from every background, but they all have one thing in common. They're all terrified of Ronan Farrow. He's coming for you. He's coming for you.
Well, that's
look,
a really right
talking
laugh
of all you
that.
Perverts, it was a big year. It was a big year for paedophile movies. Surviving R. Kelly, Leaving Neverland, Two Popes. Shut up. I don't care. many talented people of colour were snubbed in major categories. Unfortunately, there's nothing we can do about that. The Hollywood foreign press are all very, very racist. So, fifth time. So, we were going to do an in memoriam this year, but when I saw the list of people that had died, it wasn't diverse enough. It just, no. It was mostly white people. And I thought, nah, not on my watch. So, this show should just be me coming out going, well done, Netflix, you win everything. Good night. But no, no, we got to drag it out for 3 hours. You could binge watch the entire first season of Afterlife instead of watching this show. That's a show about a man who wants to kill himself because his wife dies of cancer. And it's still more fun than this. Okay? Spoiler alert, season two is on the way. So in the end, he obviously didn't kill himself. Just like Jeffrey Epstein. Shut up. I know he's your friend, but I don't care. The Irishman was amazing. It was amazing. Look, it was. It was great. Long, but amazing. It wasn't the only epic movie. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, nearly 3 hours long, Leonardo DiCaprio attended the premiere, and by the end, his date was too old for him. Even Prince Andrew's like, come on, Leo, mate, you know. You're nearly 50, son. Apple roared into the TV game with a morning show. A superb drama, yeah. A superb drama about the importance of dignity and doing the right thing, made by a company that runs sweatshops in China. Ooh. So, well, you say you're woke, but the companies you work for, I mean, unbelievable. Apple, Amazon, Disney. If ISIS started a streaming service, you'd call your agent, wouldn't you? So, if you do win an award tonight, don't use it as a platform to make a political speech, right? You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world. Most of you spent less time in school than Greta Thunberg. So, if you win, right, come up, accept your little award, thank your agent and your God, and so...
The joke about James Corden... is a fat...
It's a big pussy.
Fat pussy.
Yeah.
And he was also in Cats.
Yeah, great joke. I don't know what the history... I mean, clearly, that is a joke to be very mean to James Corden, which is great.
That was a pretty solid gavel to the head.
There's got to be a history there, right?
I was trying to imagine what it was. You know, maybe... Will Corden not have him on his show because he's too risky?
I don't know.
Too over the top. Is that possible?
There has to be professional jealousy between two British comics.
Oh, I don't think Ricky cares.
No,
Ricky wouldn't care, but I don't know if Corden is.
I can't imagine Ricky Gervais being jealous of James Corden. I can't any world.
I think it would be the opposite direction.
Yeah, that's possible.
So that's why.
So would it be expressed itself in some way, and so Ricky's throwing it back in his face? Maybe. I don't know. Okay, Patricia Arquette was, she was an hour and 37 in, if you got her.
Yep.
Yeah.
She is so upset over this guy that we took out, this terrorist we took out in Iran. And I understand it's not that simple. Iran likes him. And they're chanting, the whole country's chanting death to America now. They're not getting anything done because the whole country... is either making effigies or they're chanting death to America. Yeah. So anyway, she, we'll play in a second, but I wanted to mention that she said something. I don't know why this annoys me. Something about, we need to give our kids a better world. You know, like the world for our kids is just so awful right now. Yeah. I mean, kids are just having a terrible time.
Won't somebody please think of the children?
Right.
They've got the best video games, the best phones, the best screens. They're never bored, ever. Are they?
Yeah. And we have to listen to them lecture us all the time.
Exactly. So anyway, it reminded me, though, of somebody I heard saying that – I didn't hear someone say it. I read it, and I'm trying to remember who it was. It was like a – it was probably an actor or maybe a musician that said something about – they're like 48 and childlessness is something like I won't do that. I won't put a child on this terrible planet right now.
Oh, was that Miley Cyrus?
Oh, it was Miley Cyrus.
She said that before.
Yeah. Okay. And
that's why I thought it was a guy, right?
Yeah, it sounds more similar.
I wouldn't do that. Nah,
it sounds more. Voice. Sounds a little more chicky, I guess.
By the way.
But I find that statement so obnoxious. You know, it's like, it's such an easy way out too. I mean, here's virtually, you know, everyone you know having kids and busting their ass to keep these kids going and keep them with good grades and, you know, make a living. Yeah, and you're going, oh, this planet's just too, I wouldn't dare have a child. You know, almost like they're judging you who have had kids.
Only idiots have kids.
At the same time, they're just living a free and easy life with no responsibility whatsoever and then taking the high road that they wouldn't dare put children on this earth. But Patricia Arquette comes across, she's a little angry maybe.
And celebrate this, but also I know tonight, January 5th, 2020, we're not going to look back on this night.
In the history books,
we will see a country on the brink of war, the United States of America.
I got news for you. Nobody ever looks in the history books to see what happened on the Golden Globes on any day.
No.
So cares.
President tweeting out a threat of 52 bombs, including cultural sites.
Oh, please.
Young people risking their lives, traveling across the world, people not knowing if bombs are going to drop on their kids' heads, and the continent of Australia on fire. So while I love my kids so much, I beg of us all to give them a better world. For our kids and their kids, we have to vote in 2020, and we have to beg and plead for everyone we know to vote in 2020. Thank you.
The happy music. It's just so stupid.
Boy, she kind of brought the room down, I thought.
But thank God that music was there.
Momoa! Up next.
Seeing her walk off stage reminded me, the only text I sent to Drew all of last night during the Golden Globes was, Pierce Brosnan's kids are soft.
They are.
They look very soft.
His one kid looks like Slender Man. It's weird.
They were the ones that were escorting the people on and off the stage.
Yeah. Why have they had dudes do that? It was always the daughter.
I know. The really hot daughters. The super hot daughters.
It's reverse diverse.
Nobody wants to see Slender Man walking the kids off. Stupid.
That speech is...
It's great. It's very moving.
Go back to 120 when Nick Jonas comes out.
Yeah.
And I saw the delivery... And then I went, okay, who's Nick Jonas out there with?
Oh,
not knowing it was his wife.
Well, he introduced her as Priya.
Well, I didn't see the introduction. I just looked over, and there was Nick Jonas. Hold on a second. And I thought, they were so awkward together that I got the feeling that when she was told that, you're going to go out there with your husband, she went, oh, my God, I just am so uncomfortable with him. Because they just seem really awkward together.
Yeah, they kind of did.
Anybody knows it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they had a fight before they came.
Ooh.
I don't think so. I think they're just awkward.
The White Tiger, Priyanka Chopra Jonas, and Golden Globe nominee and newest coach on The Voice, Nick Jonas.
Oh, God.
I want you two to kiss each other.
Wow, you look amazing tonight, baby. I'm so glad we could get out of the house and be at this beautiful party.
Yeah, well, nice try, Nick, but this does not count as date night, clearly.
Fair point. Here are the nominees for Best TV Series, Musical.
Great transition.
Barry.
Oh my God, is that painful?
You look great as always, you post-racial power couple.
Who is she? I don't even know who she is.
Priyanka Chopra. She's an actress.
Okay.
She was in White Tiger.
Right.
Because that's what they said when they introduced her.
She's just fabulously beautiful, but no doesn't she look like she kind of towers over?
She's about 6 inches taller, I think.
As does Nicole Kidman over.
I feel bad for Kevin's
Keith
wife
Urban?
Because
Urban.
Because that's Nick's wife who's. That's Nick, right?
Yeah, so that's Nick.
She's beautiful. And then who's the other one that's a success? Joe?
Joe's
married to the girl from Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
Sophie Turner? Mm-hmm. Is that her name?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful and gorgeous. And then Kevin's just got a regular wife.
Yeah, and Kevin.
Isn't that a little
they're
weird?
They're carrying Kevin. We all know. And by the way, I've heard from almost no one, because I asked the question, are there any guys that like the Jonas Brothers? I think we heard from three people who say they know guys who will admit to liking the Jonas Brothers. They are the twinkiest band. They're so soft. Kevin has no business in the band. They're just carrying him. Oh, he's our brother. We got to help him make some money. But isn't Nick just a twink? I mean, I can't believe that chicks are still going, oh, Nick Jonas!
I asked Kennedy. I don't know. I guess they
are. Well, she loves him, but yeah. I mean, he just seems like such a twink to me.
he kind of is.
Joe, I don't think, seems.
I agree.
He seems less soft. And Kevin is
just
adult.
Just a zero. Yeah,
he's a zero. A total zero. I can't understand how these people have number one records.
Obviously,
they got something on the ball.
Kevin's wife is pretty, but I mean, she's no Sophie Turner or Priyanka, whatever, Chopra. Jonas.
Okay.
Brandon. Brandon, cheap shot.
At virtually the height of the Jonas Brothers, I mean, they had taken the world by storm, and then I think they were taking a break. But, I mean, it was right on the heels of it.
Yeah.
Kevin, the Load brother who pretends to play guitar, he and that girl, his wife, they had a reality show.
Oh.
I mean, everything was going right for the Jonas Brothers. And they're, we're going to take a little break. Kevin, I got a reality show. Like five episodes. Nobody watched it. No one cares about Kevin. We all know. He's the brother. He's the one being carried.
That's true. I've seen that. I've watched that.
He's like Tommy Aaron to Hank Aaron. Tommy had 13 homers. Hank had 755.
The Frank Stallone to the Frank Stallone.
We had Frank in studio.
He's great.
He was really nice. Yeah. But he's Frank Stallone. I think he drove his own car.
Oh, he better have.
Weird.
Wait, from New Jersey?
probably Trudy.
To Detroit?
Touring radio stations for some reason. I don't even remember what. Why takes. Was he...
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Wow. Did
was it for his guitar? Songs, his album?
Yeah, he had an album out. I think he played something. Yeah. Anyway.
He made a real impact.
You let him?
Yeah. Maybe a song. What was it, Far From Over? Was that the one in Rocky?
Oh, my God. I don't remember.
He had a semi-hit.
But take me back. Take me back.
That was a hit. That was a big
or
hit.
Or is it take, I don't know.
Take her back or take you back.
Take something back.
Okay, let's see. Anybody else?
Take it back.
There it is.
Take it back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's him.
Take it back. Take it back. Well, I've been talking.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Frank. Did you guys see Charlize say that Tom Hanks makes the world a better place?
Really?
Yeah.
She said that. Does it was like the that? Last line. So he's like the Tim Tebow of Hollywood, I guess.
He's a nice guy. Everybody loves Tom Hanks. Who hates Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
Well, my mom felt that you had to dislike either Tom Cruise or Tom Hanks, and she didn't like Tom Cruise.
I thought of that when we were discussing Tom Hanks this morning.
Yeah, she liked Tom Hanks.
And she didn't like Tom Cruise.
No, she did not. My mom knew Scientology was off its rocker like 50 years ago.
Yeah.
To her credit.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, this is an overstatement by her.
To both on screen and off. He gives us enough laughter to weather our storms. And while there may be no crying in baseball, he has made easy work of breaking our hearts and stealing
Doesn't
our...
Doesn't he just pretend to be other people?
Isn't he usually Tom Hanks in his movies?
Yes.
Well, like Big and Bachelor Party.
Well, even he points
Splash.
Out he's never played a bad guy. He's always the protagonist. He's the goofball protagonist. Or he plays an everyday person like Sully and Captain
Sully's
Phillip.
Tom
That's
right. Hanks.
That's all he does
That's
now.
Tom Hanks.
He plays real people now. That's right. All he does. Mr. Rogers.
Fred Rogers is Tom Hanks soft. Tom Hanks light.
Wait, yeah. That's really
That's
soft.
Really light, I know. The only thing is
That's
when he's gone...
Fly.
When he's gone off type, as in not Tom Hanks, is Forrest Gump.
Love Forrest Gump.
And didn't he? The AIDS guy, the AIDS movie.
The AIDS
he
guy.
Was,
no, was
played
a
Michael.
Person.
He was like Michael Stipe.
He tried real, to look like Michael Stipe.
Philadelphia.
Did he look like Michael Stipe a little bit in that movie?
A little bit, yeah.
I got AIDS now. I got AIDS now. I got AIDS now. I got AIDS on the streets of Philadelphia.
I thought it was cool when they showed the clip package of all his shows that they used every urine scene from every movie.
He does urinate.
That'd be great,
in,
though.
How many movies? They should have.
They just used every urination scene. Well, we put them together once.
Yeah.
It was like 6 minutes long because he pees in every... And we played it for Colin Hanks.
I know. I really thought that was a thing. I thought that was an inside joke. But what was it?
No, he just... I think it's his own inside joke, to tell you the truth.
I got AIDS now. That AIDS now in the streets of Philadelphia.
Because I urinate everywhere. I shouldn't.
This song didn't make sense to me.
It's terrible.
It's not Bruce's best. But what did Philadelphia... Why was the movie called Philadelphia? Get AIDS in Philadelphia. Na, 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 na.
Wait, why was it called? Why was it called Philadelphia?
I guess it was in Philadelphia. Wasn't Denzel his attorney?
Yes.
Where at? Philadelphia?
Yeah, in Philadelphia. Exactly. And if I remember correctly, Tom Hanks was like, I don't feel good. I think it's for being gay or something. And Denzel's like, well, I don't want to represent you. You gay guy here. And then by the end of the movie, Denzel's like bawling his eyes out with every sign that the Tom Hanks is getting weaker.
He's got AIDS.
I hate it when characters completely evolve in an hour and 40 minutes.
Unrealistically so. They could never do that today now because have you, you know, seen all the TV commercials? There's like complete pharmaceutical remedies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a real one that runs all the time.
So that's a way outdated drama.
Well, we're going to have to do it. We're going to have to talk about Jeffrey Epstein. Oh, boy.
But first.
This year's breaking news on the ABNN.
Happy 38th birthday.
The Antonio Brown News Network.
From your boy, AB number 84.
Stand by for some booming breaking news. And shit.
Booming.
There's AB. AB dropped his single.
Yeah.
He's really... I mean, this album isn't a joke. It's a real thing.
It's great. It's a great song, too. It definitely will get stuck in your head. I mean, it's been stuck in...
Is it getting a lot of streams? For real?
85,000 right now.
That's not very good.
It's a little redundant.
Doesn't seem like it's something people are going to dance to. Or sing along with.
He released a 30-second teaser yesterday. He released the full video today. It's 2 minutes.
It sounds like a loop of the 30 seconds he released yesterday, doesn't it?
It's a minute 51, the whole song. Word around town, I'm the MVP. I
know who the young boy was. Oh, he has his name in the song? Surprise. Yeah. They keep me on their wall. Yeah, they acknowledge me. And I be strapped out to my drawers and my fucking cliques. They buying all my stocks, yeah, they invest in me. I need 50 front of front, we gon' play for keys. But I skipped out of college to get them dollars. We got a whole
lot of money. This song's gonna be great when he goes bankrupt.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great?
A whole lot of money.
Sounds like a number one hit tune, all right.
Yeah. I can't see him carefully plotting his financial future. I don't see that happening.
No.
You don't need to. You got a whole lot of money. Whole lot of money.
All right, so we have talked a lot about Jeffrey Epstein, and I've really been waiting for something. I mean, he died 5 months ago.
Yeah, he committed suicide. It's done.
Jeffrey Epstein did not kill himself.
Exactly. And finally, what do we get? Bill Barr steps to the microphone and tells us what they've learned. And this, remember, he said we're gonna investigate this thoroughly and quickly. And
they did.
No, nothing.
And he said it was a suicide.
Yeah, but
you've heard nothing.
He just concluded. Says, he said it in November. He concluded it.
Yeah, but he just says it's not. You know, it's not suicide.
I mean, they would have you believe that this is really not of much interest to anybody.
Yeah, no,
it's suicide.
It's done. Yeah,
whatever.
Pretty much.
But first, as you may have heard, the infamous Jim Bentley is now slinging rides with our friends in studio. Sponsors at Zot Ford in Holly. Mr. Bentley finally got sick of transporting his children around in the dilapidated death trap and decided the best way to get a new Ford was to start selling them himself. Plus, Mrs. Bentley wears the pants in the house, as we all know, makes all the financial decisions, therefore Bentley's only chance. His only chance at a new car was getting a job where he gets one for free, like Zot Ford. And the original Mrs. Bentley, she is hoping that Jim's new employment will give him the chance to get off her cell phone plan at age 38. His own phone plan. Or is it 37? Like a big boy. Anyhow, if you want a new or pre-owned ride and you love it to be simple, fun, fast, and easy, all the while busting Bentley's balls in person, go see Jim Bentley and our friends at Zot Ford and Deals in the D.com. Well, you know what AB needs to do? He needs to get all that money in the MyBookie account.
Yeah.
Use the promo code Drew, mybookie.ag. Christmas is come and gone, but the Super Bowl is coming fast. That's the biggest betting day there is, isn't
it? Yeah, so many props.
I know. I can't wait. I love seeing the
prop bets are so much fun.
Yeah. I've had so many prop bets that every play actually affected a bet, which was embarrassing because I had some company over and they weren't really in my zone exactly. Yeah. And they just saw me going.
That's their loss. Not yours. That's their problem. Felt.
Anyway, I'm going nuts on every line. Oh, my God, minus five! we've seen just what our teams are capable of this season. Now it's time to get your last bets in before the big one, as we've got all our finalists or our semifinalists. The Patriots are out. I couldn't believe New Orleans lost.
I know.
Couldn't believe it. I still
can't. They deserve that loss.
And wouldn't you know it, Nancy Armour, my nemesis.
Yeah, USA Today. He's in a pod, man.
We are peas in a pod. She's livid that there's only one possession to decide in overtime, which I still can't understand why they didn't change that after the Kansas City Patriots won 2 years ago. Remember?
Yeah. Well, they did update it to a point where if you kick a field goal, then another team gets a chance to go.
But that's never it when actually, it happens.
But since then, I don't think her facts are right because I think it's been more 50-50. It's not always who wins the coin toss now.
Well, if you score a touchdown because you got the coin toss,
but it doesn't
happen
that often.
But that's what happened with the Patriots in Kansas City.
Yeah, that's what happened yesterday with Minnesota.
That's twice in 3 years.
I agree. No, I just mean overall, though, it has been closer to 50-50.
I just honestly can't for the life of me understand why. But anyway, head over to mybookie.ag. Make your predictions a reality. Double your paycheck, like Brandon. I mean, when we get all this Devin Singletary money figured out, I can't imagine how well he's done this year. If you join right now, my bookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Read the rules on the bonus. All you have to do is use promo code Drew to activate the offer. Get ready for the Super Bowl. Once again, that's promo code Drew to get your extra cash from my bookie. Bet, win, get paid. My bookie. So, 60 Minutes, it turns out, they're the ones who come to the table with some facts. And you know what I was disappointed in? 60 Minutes, did they say more than boo about the warden of the prison?
No, they didn't say anything.
I didn't hear anything about her.
What's up with that?
Or him. Who is it?
They're interested in pushing the conspiracy theory forward.
The other thing is the two guards who,
they
you know,
them.
It's all their fault because they were 15 feet away. And they couldn't, in 8 hours, they couldn't walk by the cell of the most high-profile prisoner there is, was.
I wonder, do you think they even really knew who he was?
They should have.
No, I know they should have. Do you think they knew?
I don't know. You know what? They did quote the one guard. Okay, he didn't look at him for 8 hours. And he killed himself, or he was killed, at 4:30. He was in there at 6:30 saying, "Breathe, Epstein, breathe."
Yeah.
So I don't know if his name tag on or.
I would think they would know. But I don't blame him for checking up on him. I mean, they were tired.
Yeah, they were.
No, I'm still sleeping. Man.
By the way, I love the union head. He's like, you know, when you're working all these crazy hours and working overtime. By the way, getting paid probably triple time.
A union.
It's a lot easier to just cruise stuff on the web than to walk 15 feet.
Right.
They're supposed to go every half hour. Is that really asking that much of someone? That we're going, oh, my God, they got to walk 15 feet to his cell?
Not according to that prison expert guy who was like, that's the key.
There's a lot of bullshit going on here, you know, whether it's something larger or just is what it is. And that bullshit is that.
He never should have had the opportunity to hang himself.
No, absolutely not. And that
opportunity presented itself when that guy, his new roommate, was paroled and allowed to leave and they didn't have a new roommate for him.
But they've got 700 people in a facility for 350. There's no shortage of bodies in that place. There's too many bodies. It's overcrowded. And this guy attempted suicide, needs a roommate because they say when someone attempts suicide, they automatically put a roommate in. But no, they say, you know what, he's okay. I'm a shrink, and he tried suicide, but I think he's fine now. Well, the guy said that would have been overruled in a second, no matter who it was, but especially with this
you
guy.
Blew it!
So they turn off the suicide watch, They don't put the roommate in, which they were supposed to. That's the rules. And then the other thing that was really weird was they carry him out of his cell. They take no pictures of him in the cell. They carry him and send him to the emergency room.
Right. Nice job, none of you.
He's been dead 2 hours, and they take him to the ER.
I know. Good luck with
their
that.
Ass, man.
Sweet.
Now, didn't that sound fucked up?
Yeah.
I mean, really,
really fucked up.
Yeah.
But they were, at that point, wishing. Yeah, you're right. They were trying to cover their ass, hoping.
Well, maybe. I mean, I don't know. Because the guards haven't been interviewed yet.
How is that possible?
Brandon.
Strong union.
I would.
Strong union,
you're sticking
man.
To your guns.
That's true, though.
I was losing my shit after 2 weeks. When they announced it, well, the warden's been transferred, and so we really took it out on him, and the guards, I don't know what's going on. They refused to talk. I'm thinking, wait a second. This is the most high-profile prisoner. He was given a gigantic break in Florida. He's involved with very, very, very high-profile people. He molested hundreds of underage people. He's got, you know, he was involved in a pyramid scheme that he paid nothing for. His partner took all the blame for that and went to prison for 10 years. What is going on with this guy? I mean, the deal in Florida was absolutely over the top. And I mean, I just feel like I'm dying to know who stuck their foot down in Florida and said,
follow the money.
This guy is the worst pedophile we've ever seen, but you're going to let him go in a year. Yep. I mean, that's crazy.
Well, it shouldn't be that difficult to find.
Running around with politicians and royalty and, you know, scientists. He had all the power in the world.
Yeah.
Well, it truly does sound like he had dirt on a lot of people.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. Now, some people are swearing that he was a spy for the Mossad. And, I mean, there's all kinds of things coming out on him.
But did he get any good information to the Mossad?
Who fucking
other than
I mean,
people, you know, his famous friends banging, you know, young girls?
He's got this Saudi passport.
Yeah.
That was strange. I mean, he claimed it was because he was Jewish and because of discrimination in the Middle East, he needed to have a safe harbor of some. I mean, it was like, what?
It's because he had money and he needed to hide it.
Yeah.
That's really
he saw me motorboat a few kicks. But I didn't tattletale.
Attaboy Hawk.
Thanks.
Stephen Hawking, close friends with Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, special so, submarine for him.
You know, while I'm watching this last night, which was just like, what? The guards haven't been there 5 months and they haven't interviewed. The warden, they don't even mention. We just heard he was transferred. And the prison expert said, this is a colossal fuck up.
Yeah.
Colossal fuck up. This would go to the, you know, who would we blame? And I said, who's running this place? Whoever's running this place, this is just a gigantic, colossal, monstrous fuck up. He would be, I don't know if he said he'd be blown out, but he kind of was implying that he would absolutely be done. This is crazy. So then on top of this, we hear last week, and I don't know if anybody else read this. You probably did, Brandon. That Ghislaine Maxwell, who was a sex trafficker,
yeah.
She procured hundreds of underage girls for Jeffrey Epstein. She's staying in safe houses.
Yeah. Heavily protected ones. Yeah.
Safe houses. I mean, that's usually when you're talking about a terrorist or something, mm-hmm. or a head of state.
There's been all these death threats on her life.
Says she's got dirt on people, too.
Who? Okay, but...
Then you know what? Turn it over and get yourself immunity.
The question has to be, who is providing the safe houses?
Oh, Prince Andrew. Got to be.
Well, that's an obvious. Certainly could be providing one of them, but I mean, he's trying to distance himself.
Are they really safe houses, or does she just have a lot of property?
Who has Jeff's money, though? Isn't
his
she?
Brother.
Yeah,
a lot
of it's tied up.
Not all.
A lot of it's tied up in the trust until the lawsuits are done.
He's got money stashed all over the place.
I think he does.
Jizz has a big pile of it.
Jizz.
Moves around.
You know, the
some of those cool notes that Epstein took in his cell.
Oh, yeah, that was
complaining about the service.
Kept me in a locked shower stall for 1 hour.
Cockroaches walked on my hand.
I'm sitting there going, wouldn't you rather be in the shower stall for an hour instead of that gross cell?
Well, they said he was eating up the conference room. They said nobody could get in there with their lawyer because he was spending 12 hours a day with his four or five lawyers, which, again, it was suggested that, hey, why is he getting all this privilege? What the fuck is going on here? I mean, he's just like any other guy at MCC. Well, no, he's not any other guy at MCC. He's Jeffrey Epstein.
I was really mad at CBS for blurring his medications out because I paused the TV and tried to read every single one. And every single one, they blurred out. Why? What are we afraid of knowing what Jeffrey Epstein was on? Was he on Viagra while in prison? What was it? What medication was he on? He had a bunch of them, too.
Who cares? Who's protecting him? Who cares what he was on? Now he's dead.
It's such a minor issue. But it's
and not to mention, he's a pedophile in the extreme. I did kind of like he had the roommate, the original guy who's huge.
Tartaglione.
He's like, get off of my body. That guy. Yeah, was it? Tartaglione. Is he related to the Tartaglias?
I don't think so, but maybe.
There he is.
Well, he is accused of murdering four people.
Yeah.
Tough guy.
Whatever.
If Epstein was beat up, he'd be dead. There's no way that guy would leave Epstein living if he wanted to kill Epstein.
No.
He insists that it was a suicide attempt. He then got out of that jail. I don't know if he's moved somewhere else or what have you. But so his attorney was saying that, this guy's used to a life of luxury. He's in this horrible place with, you know, rodents and bugs and
burnt food.
Of course, it's not surprising to be suicidal. I was more thinking that this guy's used to having like six of the most gorgeous 16 and 17 year olds every day for sex, and now he's down to none.
Yeah.
Living in this shithole. Yeah. Sure, he'd be depressed.
Of course.
I don't know if it's for the reasons that he stated. He had a pretty good life, pretty incredible life.
Mm hmm.
Pretty fucked up life. But then, you know, the only thing that people are going to really argue about that piece is that Michael Bodden.
Ugh. He was on CBS this morning, too.
And
you could tell he thought about that one question about the conflict of interest being paid by Epstein's brother.
Right.
Because he answered that on CBS this morning when he didn't answer it on 60 Minutes. And he's like, I worked for the state of New York and I didn't rule in their favor every time. It's like,
oh, he sucked at that job, though. He was really bad at it.
You're right, Trudy. Nobody ever mentions that. Not only that, that's a salary job. He's going to have it. If he doesn't do what, now that he's a hired gun, if he doesn't do what they want him to say.
I don't understand.
Yeah, exactly.
Then he's like, well, why would they want to rule the murder? You know, they just want to know the truth. It's like, well, if it's a murder, they could probably sue the government.
The more interesting thing, though, I mean, it's certainly interesting. He's hired by Epstein's brother, and he says, there's one bone's fractured. That's usually in a homicide or a strangling or, that would be unusual in a hanging. And I've never seen that. Every suicide in
that's right.
In this prison system, they've never had that, blah, 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 blah.
Well, Bodden does make up the narrative to go with his decisions.
Oh, yeah, so. He's a pro. Yeah. He's a paid witness. Yeah. He's a paid hired gun. But I was far more interested in the fact that the pictures were so gross. They showed where this something, I know, that was so something. It was like they cut his ear off and put it partly back on. It was like all flapped up. It was weird. It was really gross. But there was this divot in his neck, you know, like something. It looked more like a wire head, you know, and Bodden insisted that it did not match the
bed sheet.
Yeah, the bed sheet. Why was his room such a mess? His cell was a mess.
His maid was
sheets all over the place.
The maid's day off.
His stupid sleep apnea thing.
Yeah. Now,
why does he need a sleep apnea thing in prison? It's like, I got to be fresh in the morning.
Why is Bodden so insistent that it would stay as wide, like it wouldn't, like a piece of cloth wouldn't roll up into a tight thing when you're hanging from it?
I don't know. He said it didn't match the injury. I thought I was more intrigued by the fact that, you know, the suggestion that it would go up higher if you were hanging. It doesn't seem like it'd be in the middle of your neck like that.
But it was hanging from something at 4 feet, so it's more slumping over as opposed to hanging.
But if you're just slumping, I mean, you're really going to put that much of a red mark on your neck?
I know. It was really strange.
If you're killing yourself, yeah.
I would have, honestly, if I saw that, I would have thought it was a wire. I would have thought a wire
okay,
did
Pat.
That. What?
That's what Parlay Pat said too. In the text.
Well, Parlay Pat, and look at his parlays.
He's watching too many movies.
He could have killed himself with his pen too. He didn't commit suicide with his pen.
Look at all the ways he could have killed himself.
Gave him a pen.
It's clear he was murdered because he could have killed himself in so many other ways. It's like, well, yeah, but the way he chose worked, so who cares?
Sure.
Well, I don't know. It's
do you really think he didn't commit suicide?
You know, I don't think he was murdered, but I do not understand a lot of things.
It's a roundabout
about
this. Way of saying, yeah, he committed suicide.
Well, no, I mean, I would be inclined. Be inclined to think so. But then every time something happens, I go, "Hey, wait a second! How can that happen? How can the warden just be transferred? Why do we know who the warden is? How can these guys not be interviewed? How could he not be on suicide watch?
How could because the cameras be
yeah, the cameras
broken
off. The cameras
that particular
broken
day.
Because it's a federally run
shithole.
Yeah, and of course they're incompetent.
But he's Jeffrey
but we think
Epstein,
they can do, we
and
think
there's 100 people who are dying to see him in court, and they know that.
So they're good enough to pull off a massive conspiracy murder, but not good enough.
I don't even think it's a massive. I don't think it doesn't sound very massive.
The first person to commit suicide in 19 years in the prison, Mark.
Is that true?
They said it on 60 Minutes.
How many people were murdered in that time?
Probably a few.
Okay. Well, pretty loose. They let murderers into murder people.
I mean, the place sounds so loose, it sounds like anything could happen there. It was
but
crazy.
That prison has had a lot of problems.
Well, yeah, but that makes it, I mean, because, oh, it's a crazy, nobody would check on a guy in the middle of the night. That's normal.
Fair
I mean,
enough.
All this stuff, if it's that normal, then it's easy to pull something off if somebody did something strange. But I don't know. I just seems like every time I look at it, I go, what? That too? I mean, it's just the most incredibly incompetent thing. On top of the most incredibly incompetent thing, you know, if you go back to all his previous travails, even his Ponzi scheme, that partner has a book out now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He went to prison for 10 years, and he said, I carried the ball, basically. Yeah.
The thing I really hate about this is that there's going to be so much focus on, was it a murder and who did it or was it suicide, as opposed to, how did he get that deal in Florida? And that really should be a more concern to me.
Well,
I'm
interested in all of it, but I don't understand why he didn't go to prison for the Ponzi scheme. I don't understand why that Alex Acosta, I mean, that was the biggest pile of bullshit coming out of his mouth when he was trying to keep his Secretary of Labor job.
Great job. Well done.
Good job.
The state of Florida, or the city was doing a terrible job. The state came in, we got all we could.
It's a great press conference.
And then, of course, I'm thinking, these people don't even know what questions to ask. They don't know anything about the case, it seemed like, because the questions they were asking were just so general. And the next day, of course, because all I could think of was, well, can we hear what the city says about this? I know they're going to respond. And they did. They came right back and said, we had a 54-page grand jury indictment. We had this, 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 this. They took it from us.
Mm-hmm.
And then Alex Acosta goes, I think I'll resign.
nice press conference.
Next day.
That didn't work out well, did it? That didn't work out well at all, did it?
Well, before the Ponzi scheme, he also worked at Bear Stearns, and there was some suspicious reason that he was blown out of there.
Yeah, something
as well,
weird.
Some sort
happened.
Of trading mishap that he also never had to take any sort of responsibility for.
What lobbying firm does Acosta work for now? I just assume that some lobbying firm has hired him.
Oh, you know it.
The pork lobbying firm?
I bet if we went online, we could find Acosta Consulting or Acosta Lobbying.
That was the second story on 60 Minutes last night, the pork story. It was revolting.
I know, gross. I don't know.
Oh, my God, never eat ribs, ever.
No.
Mm-mm. I'm not a big rib person anyway.
Or any, yeah. Ugh, man.
Okay, so
I barbecue with this dude. We eat ribs and whatnot and listen to salsa music. You see where I'm coming from?
Charles.
When we were off, this, you know, there were a lot of things, a lot of stories, good stories. Oh, shoot, I can get around to that.
I don't know what Acosta's doing now. It seems right on par. He's the second dean at the Florida International University College of Law.
Oh, well, of course they'd hire him. I mean, academia. Who could be more qualified?
That really seems on point to study law in Florida and learn from a guy who's completely...
Oh, wait, maybe he's not there now. This page is really confusing. I'm sorry.
You know, completely sold out a bunch of molested kids.
Like teaching people the art of how to mishandle the law.
I hate the way these weasels just go round and round and round and round. Yep. Okay, so anyway, you know, keeping up with the stories, and Brandon's keeping track, and, you know, we're just kind of moving through vacation. And towards the end of vacation, the story came out. I really didn't pay much attention to it because I thought it was just dumb. It was about a guy in Michigan named Kevin Bacon who had been murdered. And Kevin Bacon, the real Kevin Bacon, the actor, he all of a sudden was really touched by the story. And I was like, what a narcissist. Just because the guy's name is Kevin Bacon? Oh, it could have been me. His name was Kevin Bacon. What the fuck is that? I mean, how simple-minded is Kevin Bacon, the actor, that he suddenly, I mean, of all the things in the world, he's, oh, his name's Kevin Bacon. Oh, my God, I'm fascinated by this.
He doesn't have the exact same name, spelled the same.
I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon.
I'm convinced
it's
that...
It's spelled with a K!
I'm convinced that Kevin Bacon, the actor, has Google alerts for any time the first Kevin Bacon is out there, be it him or anyone else.
He sounds like a monster narcissist.
Yeah.
So... today we find out, and again, I just thought this story was so dumb. It's like, what? Am I really going to go, oh my God, Kevin Bacon died in Michigan, and the actor Kevin Bacon's really interested in it. I got to read all I can.
But the story of the Michigan Kevin Bacon is a big story. A lot of people were looking for him for a long time, and then when they finally found where he had gone, Kevin Bacon, the actor, he muddled it up to make it interesting?
He muddled it up.
He did.
He ruined it. And now when they do the Dateline or 2020 on this, they're going to have a fucking interview with the actor Kevin Bacon for no reason.
And they're going to show him dancing in Footloose or something stupid like that. Oh. Brandon, today it came out that this guy
was awful.
The way he died was just a lot more hideous than anyone.
So somehow or another, these two individuals meet up, and I believe it was by Grindr.
It was, yeah.
That was the last time anybody had heard from him. He had gone missing. Well, they ended up finding him. Police went into this individual's house. I don't have his name in front of me, but he's Mark.
Mark Latunsky.
Was it Grindr action?
Well, I believe it was supposed to be Grindr action. And
if that was his profile pic, I would have swiped.
Mark looks like you're... Right,
which way is no?
He looks like a redneck out there in the woods. And they walked into his house and they found Kevin Bacon hanging.
Oh, for God's sake.
I believe by his ankles, hanging upside down from the ceiling. He had been stabbed in the back, I believe is how they feel he died, and then a throat slit. And I think he was cutting him up. In fact, the story actually mentions... that this Mark guy removed Kevin's testicles and ate his balls.
Did he cook them?
He ate...
raw?
That doesn't seem true.
This isn't going to come as much of a shock, but this Latunsky guy apparently has crazy mental problems.
Oh, well...
Going back, you know, over custody battles. And he wouldn't take his medication.
Yeah, he was a complete disaster.
Sad story.
And this guy lived way down the road, so it was probably kind of a bacon ball. Silence of the Lambs.
That reminds me of the story.
I mean, you gotta wonder, did this guy put a Grindr profile out there just to do this?
Mm, yeah, no doubt.
And that's what I assume.
For sure, yeah. To entrap people.
Like he wanted to kill a guy.
If he's off his meds, it just seems like, I mean, does he really have the wherewithal? I mean, he sounds like he's just a madman.
Well, the article that first came out when they were talking about his ex and going through the court cases, it sounded like he was one of those masters of making you think he was on his medication. Like he could turn it on and off kind of thing.
I didn't know those people could really do that.
Well, so much so that the ex-wife was counting his pills.
Oh.
Because he would act in a certain way in front of
him. That could be somebody who likes their pills too much, though. It could be that, too. Well, if he's counting his pills, maybe he's taking too many. He's either taking too many or too few.
Well, she was counting him to make sure he was taking
them. Yeah, because he was acting. He was presenting well.
In a certain way, but there were still enough questions.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And odd behavior. That was years ago, but they had seen odd behavior from him before. And November 25th, police responded to Latunsky's home when a 29-year-old man wearing nothing but a leather kilt was running from his house with him chasing him.
Oh, jeez.
They say the man had blood on his face and was screaming for help. So it's got to be a thing where he was planning on killing somebody.
Is it Dahmer?
Yeah. I think you're right. The man did not want to press charges against him, which sucks because that might have...
saved Kevin Bacon.
Saved Kevin Bacon, yeah.
Well, but then... somebody else would have gotten it probably eventually.
Latunsky told police he was chasing the man because he was wearing his kilt. It was expensive and he wanted it back.
You're right.
Well, yeah.
It reminded me when it got to the... Of course, the only thing... I mean, I'm completely dream-weaving the story other than the guy eating his testicles. That's the only thing that sticks with me. It's like... Otherwise, I mean, I watch so much true crime. It's like, he ate his testicles. What? But it reminded me of the ID story. I know I talked about it on the show. Where this guy and his wife are moving into this new place, and this guy at work...
Oh, yeah.
Was kind of weird. He comes over when they finish building it, and he's like, "Yeah, I really want to got a housewarming gift." And they're like, "Oh boy, he's kind of weird. I don't want a housewarming gift from him." Well, we got to be nice. I mean, what are we gonna do? Say no. So he's like, "I want to come over tonight." Okay, we'll see at 5:30. So he comes over and he has a scrapbook of he's been taking pictures like as they got the house built, mm-hmm. like day by day.
Oh my god!
And they're like, "This is really cool, but." It's totally weird that you did this. They didn't say that, but it was totally weird.
And they're
freaking saying, out.
Look at me. I'm looking for the trash can.
Exactly.
Some fucking, nobody keeps
we have that drop. We
nobody
that drop,
keeps
we?
A scrapbook that anybody else makes. Right?
Hell no. So the wife
look
has
at
to
me.
Go.
I'm looking for the trash can.
The wife has to go for run an errand, and she leaves. And she comes back like a half hour later, and she's like, oh, I guess, oh, he left. Thank God. His car's gone. You know, whew.
She walks, make sure we threw away that scrapbook. Yeah.
She walks,
I don't want that scrapbook sitting around.
Here's a nice piece of shit.
She walks in the house, and she walks in the living room. She's like, wait a second. That's my husband's clothes. Uh-oh. What the fuck is going on? And she starts yelling for him. He's not there. And then she notices, oh, my God, there's some blood in the hallway. What the hell happened here? And anyway, they can't find him. She calls the police. Like 2 days go by, they can't find him. They don't know where this fucking guy is. He's not
okay,
going to work
that night.
Anyway, they eventually find out that he had purchased a second home and told no one about it. And they go there, and what happened was the guy had brought this, and the cops had found this. It was like a 2-page note where he was telling this husband that he, that whenever he was around him and his wife, he couldn't keep his eyes off me. He was so attracted to him. He'd always been with women. He wasn't gay, but he was really in love with this dude, this one dude. Whoa. So he pulled a gun on him, and I guess this guy tried to get away, and he shot him in the leg or something, and then he drags him into the truck, takes him to his special house nobody knows about, which is where he probably takes tons of dudes.
Yeah. No, this is the only one.
That was his homo house. Not that there's anything wrong with that. You know, a homo house and a hetero house.
Homo side house, though. Yeah.
So they go there, and 2 days have gone by when they figure this out, and they're like, oh, God, what are we going to find? And what do they find? They find the guy who fell in love with this dude. He's dead, shot himself in the head, and the husband is dead, too, except, oh, my God, the husband's his penis is cut off. What the hell? Mm. And it turns out that...
Where is it?
He decided to eat it before he shot himself.
Yummy.
He was in love with him.
So why do you have to eat it?
He wanted to penis to be part of him.
Yummy.
But then he killed himself.
He wanted him inside him.
Well, before... Listen.
There's other ways to do that.
Before we get away from...
Well, he could have stuffed it in his butt.
Genital removal.
Could have made the other guy eat it.
And husband, I just found an interview.
Oh, wow.
Mark Latinsky...
As a husband.
What?
God.
Yeah. The man who killed Kevin Bacon.
He surprisingly.
Okay.
And ate his testicles.
Not the actor, of course.
Out of Mark Latinsky's league, by the way.
His husband has done an interview.
Well, I'm known the truth that I'm not running, that I'm in full cooperation, that I'm willing to do whatever I have to do to bring justice, that this man should never be let out of prison.
The husband of an accused killer speaking out tonight in an effort to defend himself as questions around the case continue to grow. Thank you for joining us
today.
What the hell?
I'm so confused. Why are people going after the husband? What does he have to do with it?
Oh, they just want to stick a mic in front of him and see what he says.
No, people will go after the family members and spouses of people who do crazy
things.
Yeah, and
they're wondering, like, did you see him haul people into the house? Well, like the man with the kilt, the nude dude?
Background for doing anything like that.
Well, he was cheated on. I mean,
that's true.
Right?
I would think.
I guess he's getting attacked a lot.
Eating someone's testicles would be cheating on your gay spouse.
Did he not live with them? Well, they were married, though. He didn't live with them.
Yeah, they were married. I don't know.
So confused.
Oh, boy. Let's see. I was wondering, do we have any business to take care of today? Is there anything going on that we've been remiss? I was going to mention that if you can review us on iTunes, it's much appreciated.
With the show?
Yeah.
No.
Well, there's a couple calls that we can always follow up on.
Stan?
We can always follow up with Stan. We can always follow up with our Star Wars dude who said we told him he could review the movie itself.
Mm-hmm.
Which else were we supposed to, Mark?
God, I don't remember now. My mind's a blank.
God, there was
the hotel that Mama June destroyed. I love that story. They just got kicked out of another hotel, by the way.
What is up with Mama June? She's
on crack.
What was the show she was on?
Honey Boo Boo.
Here comes Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah.
And the kid was fat and she was fat. And why was that a thing?
Because people thought it was funny.
Because she had honey, she was pimping Honey Boo Boo in beauty pageants, and then everybody's like, "Oh, look at that! Isn't that charming?" She gives her Mountain Dew so she can perform the pageant,
exactly.
And they made it into a what network was that?
I don't even know.
Yeah, into a reality show, and then.
But now the mom has met a guy who seems to have drug problems, and it seems that they're both smoking crack around the clock, and she sold her house and her possessions. And now they're staying in hotel rooms and trashing rooms.
Honey Boo Boo, by the way, huge.
Oh, yeah.
Where is Honey Boo Boo now? She's not with the mom anymore.
Well, she's not cute anymore. She's like 13 or 14, so people don't care about her anymore.
She hit puberty.
She's
no one cares.
She's no longer an influencer.
I know.
Ridiculous. Very big.
You got to read that story that I gave you before the show about the influencer homes.
Oh.
It's really annoying.
By the way, Mama June at one point had lost all this weight, and people were acting like, "Look at Mama June, she's hot now." And it's like, no, she's still ugly. She's gross.
You know, partially
absolutely
why?
Gross.
Because her face, she could never get the hillbilly out of her face.
No,
ever.
She had
the dumbest looks on her face at all times. And
Trudy, she had ginormous gums, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
Ginormous.
She lose weight in her gums.
It didn't matter how she opened or closed her mouth. All you saw was gums and these tiny little teeth.
What is it, Beavis or Butthead who has? She had those gums.
Butthead gums, yeah.
Butthead gums.
Okay, so if you can, rate us on iTunes and rate us on Facebook, too. You know, we had to start from scratch on social media, so we're still begging for your likes on our Facebook page, Drew Mike Show.
Yeah, well, you fuck.
And a follow on Twitter would be nice, too. I'm stuck at 12,300. It took me forever to get from 12.2 to 12.3. So, at Drew Mike Podcast.
Whoa, you're crying like a girl.
At Drew Mike Podcast. Yeah, I am. I'm begging. I'm begging like a 15-year-old. And what else should we ask for? Is there anything else we need? We've got the
donations.
Amazon portal, of course. And, we have a donation bar as well. You know, I keep, as I'm over the break, I had time and it was fun because I was, oh, what's this podcast? And I'd listen to it. And what is the advantage to being on Patreon?
I don't think there's an advantage anymore. It used to be because they didn't take as big of a cut.
Well,
I don't know.
I just didn't understand why all these shows keep referring to Patreon.
Because it's supposed to be for,
extra content.
Content creators.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's extra content.
Sure.
Well, and you can buy it through the Patreon? Or?
I like when there were fewer ways to access content, so you didn't have to produce so much ridiculous content in order to fill them.
Well, I've had
so
many
much of it
people,
is dumb.
I've had many people suggest that, why don't you guys have content that you pay, $2.99 a month for or something? I'm like, I can't make any more content.
Yeah.
Creating 13 hours a week, 12 hours a week?
Yeah.
We had Best Of coming out on Saturdays before when we had a sponsor for it. It's a lot of content.
That is content.
And Trudy's got, look at all the hours of content Trudy has. Oh, my God. What's new?
I don't want to hear you whining.
The one thing that I wanted to get through, because I gotta make some phone calls, because obviously we want to do some phoners here in the coming weeks, and we're going to be putting something together soon with some of our old friends, and that's coming. That's just a little teaser. But I want to call this dude who's making that damn RoboCop statue, because it's been 10 years that the public, spent all this money in the Kickstarter – I mean, that's how old it is. They had Kickstarter isn't even around anymore.
They raised $67,000 to build a RoboCop statue. And in 2013, when there was like, do we really want a RoboCop statue? I mean, does anybody in Detroit care about RoboCop anymore?
Where would
anymore?
We put it? Yeah. And
it's only been 27 years since RoboCop came out. Now here we are 7-8 years later, and we're like, the RoboCop statue? Are they really making that? I mean, that's what I feel like
at first everyone's like, oh, yeah, cool, a RoboCop statue. And now it's just kind of like, we're still doing this thing?
Because it was 10 years ago.
We haven't moved on to something else yet?
Brandon, do you remember we were trying to get an interview about the stupid statue? Yeah. And they're like, oh, there's no one to talk to you.
They delayed it for about 3 months, and then I think they shut us down. I mean, at one point, we were in
contact. We don't want to talk about it. It's too intense.
We were in contact with them, but it was just really, really difficult.
Yeah, take your time.
Oh, my God.
Take your time. Nobody's waiting for you. Take a call. Have a cup of coffee. Have a nice bagel. Take a little nap. It's fine.
It was just really hard to kind of find out the exact date that it was going to be unveiled, that it's going to be finally put there.
They still don't know when or where it's going to be unveiled. They're saying, it's probably going to be in the winter, and it might be at the Science Center, or it's crazy.
I've always heard the Science Center, and the pictures that have recently come out.
They don't have a date. They do not have a date.
It looks like all you got to do is put the head on, and it's done. It does look complete.
It's kind of cool.
And then throw it in the river, because nobody cares anymore. Just throw in the Detroit River and let it float wherever.
Well, here's my thing. Unfortunately, I think it's going to get defaced pretty early.
Oh, for sure.
That seems about right.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, maybe that
turns
into something.
I think I might do that.
I'll get it with you. Let's go, Drew.
Maybe that turns into something. Maybe it's the RoboCop statue that's always a different color because someone comes down and
writes a rock.
Like a rock. Exactly.
RoboCop.
What if they have to have real cops take care of the RoboCop statue?
Oh, my
God. I don't know. I saw that it's close to being done. I was always originally excited for it. And
no one cares anymore.
It's just been a long
time. We're on
to
other things.
Let's get that statue up.
Australia's burning.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
God.
Oh, man. When Jennifer Aniston was reading that message from
Russell Crowe,
it was like, really? He really can't just think. Is he really stuck in Australia?
Yeah,
is he
like,
he's battling the flames,
trying to get... Yeah.
Born in New Zealand in 1964, a hot-headed actor named Russell Crowe. He loves to act, but he loves one thing more: fight it round the world.
He can be anywhere he wants, and he has to throw in climate change. Is the idea of these award shows to educate us? Oh, climate change has something to do with those fires. Oh, thank you, Jennifer.
Well, that's the thing. Do you think?
I mean, are they really changing people's minds to like, oh, women, we got to go for ourselves, just like men, because look how it's worked out for them.
I imagine Jennifer Aniston today is really pissed she had to read that.
Right. Plus,
it sounds like she's saying those.
She intentionally squinted her eyes and made it look like I am reading this. This is not my words.
It was completely awkward for Reese Witherspoon, who was standing there just like, whoa.
Well, I think Russell Crowe
should just kissed.
He should just combat those fires like he combats everything else.
Where is that pussy cancer anyway? Take that cancer and that.
Yeah, so he should fight the fires.
Okay. Literally. Hype House and the Los Angeles TikTok Mansion Gold Rush.
Would you ever want to live in a place called the Hype House?
I don't think so.
Sounds exhausting.
The city's home to a land rush of...
Exactly. That's their doorbell.
Collab houses?
Yeah, like short for collaboration.
Oh, boy.
Which I only know that from that... What was that Hulu documentary that we loved? The guy...
Oh, the Fire Festival?
No. The guy that moved from Virginia-Tennessee border, moved out to L.A. because he... was doing so well.
Oh, that was great.
Instagram.
Yeah.
I can't think of the name of it. But he lived in a collab house, and they constantly were saying, we got to collab together, man.
I know. That was hilarious. You got all these guys who are like 19 years old, and they're constantly taking their shirts off for selfies.
His name is Michael Weiss. Michael Weiss, and he said this.
Instagram, one of the most prestigious and secretive platforms.
That was his manager, yeah. Okay.
The manager is like 16.
Is it Jeremy or...
Well, so there's all these, there's a gold rush of collab houses where the content creators are getting younger and younger. Hype House, the physical location of a new content creator collective, is this, where are we going with this? Oh my God, I'm so concerned. Is a Spanish-style mansion. Of course it's a mansion. It's got influencers in it.
Austin was his name. It's called, the documentary's Jawline.
The mansion's perched at the top of a hill on a gated street in Los Angeles. It has a palatial backyard, a pool, an enormous kitchen, dining, and living quarters. Four of the group's 19 members live in the house full-time. Several others keep rooms to crash in when they're in town, when they're influencing on the West Coast. And all day long, a stream of influential young internet stars come by to pay homage to the new guard. Oh, how stupid.
All she's going to do is take pictures of her titties and put it on Twitter.
I got to tell you, I would just say, you know what, forget it. I'm just going to be a loser. I don't want to be an influencer if I have to do this.
Take a look at the picture of the people that live at the collab house here on the computer. I mean, you can see them, Trudy. Can you see them?
Oh, my God, the dumbest hairstyles ever.
Following.
Oh, let me guess.
Our plan is on the rise.
They spend a lot of time in their hair.
Well, they each have a phone that they're looking at.
Yeah. Of course they do.
Collab house. Yeah.
Okay, so.
And you would think that, you know, they're all young and pretty attractive people. They'd all be banging together. But I bet you there's no sex going on in the collab house.
Oh, no.
Gets in the way of content.
Yeah, gets in the way of good selfies. Hype House was formed in December by some of TikTok's most talked about stars. They introduced themselves with a Backstreet Boys-esque photo shoot. Oh, how gay. And within minutes, not that anything wrong with that. And within minutes, hashtag Hype House began trending. Videos included the hashtag House, Hype House have accrued nearly 100 million views on TikTok. So-called collab houses, also known as content houses, are an established tradition in the influencer world.
Gay fucking shit.
Yeah. Soon after, YouTuber mansions were popping up all over the city. The Vlog Squad checked up in Studio City while Team 10, Jake Paul's infamous YouTuber collective, rented a giant house in West Hollywood before eventually decamping to a mansion in Calabasas. Another group of YouTubers rented a $12 million mansion in the Hollywood Hills and deemed it Clout House.
Clout House?
Well, they have influencer clout.
Yeah. How come chicks are into this, dude, anyway?
It's a brilliant move for power players on these platforms to lift each other up, said Sam Sheffer, a YouTuber and technologist. Elevate others to elevate yourself is a saying, and it really rings true with this new generation of TikTokers.
There's so many empty, like, bullshit sayings coming out of these people.
From a management perspective, it's great. It just means all the kids will focus on content. Hype House is the brainchild of Chase Hudson, 17, a TikTok star with more than 8 million followers, who's known online as Lil Huddy, and Thomas Petru, a YouTube star. The pair began plotting a move in November. Within 13 days, they had signed a lease on their current residence. Originally, Chase hoped to name the group House of Olympus. He thinks it sounds cooler, but then Alex Warren suggested the name Hype House, and Chase was outvoted!
How can the genius Chase be outvoted? And by the way, who co-signed that loan?
Good question.
I really hope this 17-year-old didn't have enough money to buy that house himself, because it's huge.
Finding the right location for the house is key. A good collab house has lots of natural light, open spaces, far from prying neighbors.
Fuck off.
They might steal your influence.
So is any house.
Brent Rivera, YouTuber star with more than 17 million followers on TikTok. By the way, how many people are in the world? I mean, it doesn't seem like everybody's going to have 20 million followers eventually.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Wow. And then there's not enough time for all these people to follow this many people. He also runs a talent incubator. What is that?
He finds talent.
He incubates talent.
Yeah, he teaches them how to collab and make content.
I didn't realize talent was that easy to come by. I guess it is.
Well, that's now you got to incubate it.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah,
got to nurture it.
Form them.
Brent said the perfect collab house needs to be big, and the more amenities, the better. Like a pool, a nice bathroom, nice lighting, big back and front yard, a room for activities, and fun stuff you can do inside or outside.
Like any house sucks. Like any house.
Residents must also be able to film. Many influencers prefer the short-term rental structure of Airbnb, in part because obtaining a lease can be tough when you're young and have an unpredictable income. The location Chase and Thomas found for Hype House checked all the boxes and had additional features that make it perfect for TikTok. Plenty of giant mirrors. Of course, mirrors. And a bathroom the size of a small apartment to film in. Because everyone just moved in, Hype House is also nearly without furniture, which makes shooting easier.
Lord.
December 30th, members clustered in the bathroom in rotating groups doing backflips in front of a foam propped up on a roll of toilet paper supported by a smart water bottle. What brilliant... Necessity is the mother of invention, clearly, when you're in Hype House. 15-second clips of a DaBaby song looped until everyone had memorized the agreed-upon choreography. After one group finished filming, they headed downstairs.
It does seem like Gen Z loves choreography. Yeah. They love lectures and choreography.
And tattling, telling on people. After one group finished filming, they headed downstairs to lounge on three beanbag chairs. Now that sounds cool. House has a large glistening pool, but it's too cold to swim in now. Hypos members prefer to hang out in the stone porches overlooking it. The sweeping staircase is also a popular backdrop for selfies.
Great places to collab.
Collab.
Soon after, YouTuber mansions were popping up all over the city. The Vlog Squad shacked up in Studio City, while Team 10, Jake Paul's YouTuber collective, rented a giant house in West Hollywood before decamp. Oh, that's, I already read that. Let's see. The big struggle creators have is that people around them don't understand at all the culture of what they're doing, said Mitch Boffin, a YouTuber who lived in a collab house when he was started out. This is the value for young people. If you want to immerse yourself and influence an internet culture, there's no better place to be. Chase Thomas, Charlie, and other members of Hype House are aware of how lucky they are, how fleeting fame can be, and they don't want to squander the opportunity.
They don't know that.
It's 24-7 here. Last night we posted at 2 a.m., Thomas said. There's probably 100 TikToks made here per day. At minimum.
Cool. Great. That really helps the economy. China. It's owned by the Chinese.
Lordy, lordy.
There's some great comments, too. Like, the first one is, it's hilarious to read all these tisk, tisk, boomer comments about all these talents. Flash in the pants are producing mindless content that wastes other kids' time when we, the boomers, spent our youth bringing really important stuff like Leave It to Beaver, Mr. Ed, and I Dream of Genie. At least it's other kids producing this dreck instead of cynics on Madison Avenue.
Wait, what? What?
In other words, the boomers.
What are these cynical boomers? What stupid comments are they making?
I'm trying to find, well, you know, there's a couple guys. It's like, read this article, didn't understand a word of it. I'll boomer, save everyone the trouble. Okay, boomer. there's another great.
I love how boomers get nailed for being stupid for anything youthful that they don't understand because they're like 70 years old.
It's a really interesting article. It's on New York Times. So I have five free articles. I have four left now because I read one of them. Oh. But this, if you read the whole thing, this guy's comment is the best. This article misses the 900-pound elephant in the collab house. It's all about exploiting young girls for sexualized content without ever saying it's sex.
Exactly.
It's gross. Everyone pretends it's about kids having fun.
Mark.
What? No, it's about turning a 15-year-old girl into a sexy object 15 seconds at a time. Their parents are truly, utterly revolting.
But hey, my story didn't mention anything about girls.
Yours did.
No, it was mostly about...
You skipped over the Charlie part.
Oh.
She's 15, and she's a
no. You gotta have a hot female to get the views, to get the clicks, to get the likes.
And she's like the biggest TikToker right now.
Isn't this?
And you know something sinister underlies all of this.
Sure. Isn't this hot privilege? Shouldn't we be calling out people for having hot privilege? All these people who are Instagram stars and rich TikTok stars.
Oh, there's another great part. Let me see the article. There's another great part you skipped over that I think bears mentioning because, you know, what's the most important thing to this generation, too?
That everybody choreography?
That everybody has a voice.
What did I learn?
Everybody has a voice.
Where's the other
house? Everybody does?
That's like the most important thing that everybody...
I think, why can't we start removing voices from people who've proven they should not have a voice?
I think if somebody has a voice and somebody else gets jealous of it, then they don't want them to have a voice, and then there's disharmony in collab house. just like Ariel Castro's
house. It is fun. Well, Brandon, you know the way these people attack each other.
They didn't get along, though.
No, they did not.
It's really brutal. It's incredible. They're the biggest cancelers out there.
Ever since the arrival of the Hype House, many other TikTok collectors have been making plans to take on Los Angeles. Some TikTokers began discussing a melanin mansion for black creators, knowing that the Hype House is predominantly white.
Ooh.
Cabin 6, an LGBT focus.
Shouldn't they be more diverse?
Well, Cabin 6, the LGBT focus collective, held public auditions on TikTok last week, as did Diversity University, another TikTok group.
Oh, my God. Diversity University.
To organize in L.A. and merch. Which it's interesting because why aren't those houses all mixed together?
Yeah. Why
Why is the LGBT their own house? Why is the melanin mansion its own house? Why aren't they all mixed together?
Birds of a feather flock together.
Do you know the house has rules?
But they're
too?
Supposed to be different. They're supposed to be inclusive.
No, because it isn't any good if it isn't inclusive. Then it sucks. Mark.
Yeah.
What are the rules of the house?
Well, I'm
frightened to ask.
This is kind of a collab house, right?
Yes, it is.
I know all the rules.
Not as
fancy.
My man Stan. Okay, bye.
The Hype House does not take a cut of anyone's revenue, unlike other collab houses.
But don't you have to pay to live there?
Yeah, how do we run the Hype House?
The house has strict rules. Creators can have friends over, but it's not a party house. If you break something, you have 15 days to replace it. You break it, you buy it! And if you want to be part of the group, you need to churn out content daily. If someone slips up constantly, they're not going to be part of this team anymore, Thomas says. You can't come over and stay for a week and not make any videos. It's just not going to work. The whole house is designed for productivity. If you want to party, there's hundreds of houses that throw parties in L.A. every weekend. We don't want to be that. It's not in line with anyone in this house's brand. It's about creating something big, and you can't do that if you're going to go out on the weekends. Pretty important.
The collab house to me just sounds like a hot desk for influencers.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have to bring this up, and I really wasn't going to because I was embarrassed that I was watching it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reality show called Married at First Sight.
Oh, it's a great show.
I think it's a pretty good show.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm amused by it. It's not like I get anything out of it. It's just pablum to watch. And
I think they've had a couple marriages that have actually still worked out.
No, they have. So have you noticed anything about the people on the show, Mark?
No. I mean, what?
Well, I mean, these are 23, 25-year-olds who they want to be married.
Married, yeah.
They want to be married. They're attractive, too. They're not like pathetic people or anything.
Yeah, you don't go on the show unless, I mean, it's not just for a whim. I mean, you literally.
And they have
married.
All these.
You want to be married.
Counselors who plug in all the, you know, you're a social person, you're a Catholic, you're this, you're that. And they try to match them up as best they can. And of course, you know, there's
like
always
a dating site would.
The secret sauce, which is, if the secret sauce isn't right, then, you know, it won't work. But anyway, they try it. And they sort of coach them on, you know, the fact they want to be married. It's like an arranged marriage, but it's with somebody that, you know, should be attractive to you based on things you find attractive in the opposite sex and so on and so forth. And they literally meet each other when they're getting married. Mm-hmm. And then they follow them around for the next couple months, at which point they decide whether they want to stay married or annul it. So I'm watching the 10 people they have. I'm like, why are these people doing this? They're good-looking kids. They seem successful. They're super goal-oriented. Yeah. And it made me think, guys, are all 23-year-olds this goal-oriented? They seem really hungry, which, you know, isn't bad. I'm not knocking it at all. I think it's good. I mean, you should want to make your mark doing whatever. But the thing is, they sort of see marriage as another goal. Like, yeah, I want to be married by the time I'm 27 and I'm 25 and, you know, I'm not meeting anybody, so I got to get married.
I got to have kids by the time I'm 35. And
there you go. Yeah, yeah, the females tend to be that way. And there was one Married at First Sight last year where this girl was 35. When was she? She's like 33, I think. He was 35. He was 6'11". He played basketball in Europe. He was spoiled shitless. Wow. He was like me, me, me. All the time, me, me, me. He just used to traveling sports teams, making nice money, and his career was coming to an end, and his life was crashing too, in my opinion. But anyway, they plugged them together as people who would have kids fairly soon, and you know, and when they get married, it's like, you want to have kids? Oh yeah, I want to have kids. And he's like, well, when do you want to have kids? And he's like, not right now. And so finally, she pins him down after about a week, and like, well, when do you want to have kids? And he's like, probably about 8 years. She's 33. She wants to have 2 or 3 kids.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're divorced.
That one didn't work
out.
Also didn't come home for 3 or 4 days at a time sometimes.
Of the 29 couples that have been featured over the last 5-6 years, 8 are still married and 21 are divorced.
8 are married?
8 are married.
Really? That's better than The Bachelor.
Jamie and Doug plus one was a spinoff show. They have a kid.
Jamie and Doug plus one.
I just can't handle any of this anymore. The influencers and the
works,
dumb reality TV.
I know,
TV.
Trudy.
Something has got to change in 2020.
I guess when I watch this, I try to, you know, understand, is there something about these people that some generalization I can make? Like 90 Day Fiancé is utterly fascinating. Because you have these people, again, some good-looking people in America, and the girls will say things like, no men in America.
Good-looking women.
The good-looking women are usually from another country, and they're usually much better-looking than anyone they could see over here. So the girls want to come to America. But there's some very interesting ones, like this guy who turns out is in a band. I didn't know what he did. I mean, you find out more about these people as time goes on, and it gets dumber and dumber. He finds this beautiful girl. He's a black guy with blonde hair. You know, he's in a band. He's kind of cool. And she's from Ukraine or Russia or somewhere. Anyway, she's very Eastern European looking. She's really pretty, though. A little, like, lip injections, a little overdone, but she's very pretty. And she comes over here, and he didn't tell her that I live with my parents.
Ooh, uh-oh.
She's 27. He's like 30.
Ooh.
And so, and they won't, his parents are old-fashioned. They won't let him sleep together. So she
Yikes, you're strict.
She stays with his parents, and he stays elsewhere. And she's, I'm really suspicious because her sister lives 10 minutes away. Her sister from Eastern Europe lives 10 minutes away. And she just happens to fall for this guy who's 10 minutes away from her sister. That's wacky.
Oh. Yeah. That's weird.
You can tell she hates his friends, too. I don't understand why they're getting married.
That sounds
anyway,
the worst half hour of television ever.
I could not get over, though, how these married at first sight people, they were really excited about it. They were a little nervous, but they were all successful. They were all young. They all had a million good things going on. It's like, but they all wanted to be married, but they just, I don't really have time for a, you know, I wanted to make six figures by the time I'm 28.
And they
I'm
all
really hard.
Wanted to be on television.
I don't know. Most of these people that I've seen, I've never seen them again anywhere.
Doug and Kate plus eight, or whatever it was.
Well, they got a
spin-off. They were married at first sight?
No, he's talking about the one I mentioned, the people that had a kid. I mean, they had a spin-off. There is someone from around.
Stop being so cynical, Brandon. It's an important show. No,
Sorry, it was like Amy and Doug plus one.
It's
no, I think what they think, though, Brandon, I think there's legitimacy in what you're claiming because I think they think maybe they're just going to strike gold.
They still have to get married, though.
And someone's going to see them.
So, like, there's a guy from Michigan who went on the show season five, got married. Still married. Still married today.
What's his name?
Anthony. Anthony D'Amico.
I might know this dude.
Seems like she's hot. She's smoking. He's an all right looking guy.
I don't know that guy.
I mean, for a dude.
Yeah, the girls on this one, I'm not kidding you, like three of them are really pretty. Pretty.
And they're Mike Staff Productions.
What's that?
He hired Mike Staff Productions.
He did? Really? That's funny as hell.
Was that in the article, really?
Because there's two plugs for him in the article.
Oh, my God.
This one girl, get this. This one, I just could not get over how strange this was. This girl's 25. She's really pretty. She's really cute. She's funny. I mean, very likable. And she seems pretty cool, too. And so she wants to do this, and she tells her family, like, what? She's like, no, I've got diabetes, and if you're going to have children, you've got to have them young, and, you know, all my relationships have fallen apart. I just want to get married. And she's got a career. She's a cool chick,
Type 2 diabetes, the one where you're supposed to shame her, not feel sorry for her.
So at some point, she admits that I'm a little nervous about this because I was dating this guy, and I wanted it to go all the way, and it wasn't. He just wouldn't. You know, he just didn't seem like he wanted to be that close. And so I told him it's over and everything was okay. And then I guess he found out she was going on Married at First Sight, that she was getting married.
And then
all of a sudden he's like, oh, I love you. I want you. And so her mother says, I'd rather she got married at first sight than be with this asshole. He's the worst. He's horrible in every way. And she's conflicted to stay with the guy who's horrible for her that she knows, or the, you know, the guy that she doesn't know sounds better because she doesn't know him.
Right.
So she's going to marry that guy.
That's a great idea.
It's pretty nutty. I'm just amazed because these people don't seem like complete dopes. And I thought they would, but they just see it as another goal, another thing. And I mean, it's it makes more sense than The Bachelor, put it that way. Not that that's much of a standard. Right. By the way, the new Bachelor starts then.
Oh, great.
It's the airline pilot who banged Hannah
B.
In the
lighthouse.
The lighthouse, yeah, four times.
Sounds like a stupid game of Clue.
And he's a pilot.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
So now he's...
All right, get us out of here, Brandon.
Ooh, this just in.
Well, it's not just in, but...
Oh, bystander shot rapist at Harvey Weinstein outside court.
Weinstein's trial started today.
Rapist!
Hey, he had his tennis balls.
He did. You're right, Brandon, on his walker.
He also got charged in Los Angeles when he was literally, I think he was in court in New York when the charge was announced.
But most importantly, Rose McGowan was there and giving her
yes.
her press conference before the trial.
Well, she's busy. She's rooting for Iran versus the United States. She's living in a terrorist country.
Rooting. Oh, yay, yay.
All right. Well, I think I said it all. Rate us on iTunes. Rate us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook. I didn't get my 25,000 likes for Christmas.
Aww.
Like 24,300 or something.
Oh,
it's pretty disappointing. Well,
did not come through, man.
I know. My social media. Oh, my God.
I'm like 40 Twitter followers away from 6,000.
Well, that shouldn't be hard to get. Is your Twitter moving slow?
I could work harder on it. Let's say, if I were in a collab house, I would probably be more motivated. But
maybe we should start a collab house and get our Twitter going, because I'm not kidding. Since I passed 12,000, I've just been... It's just so slow, and I've been... I don't think I work it as hard either.
Yeah, but you're putting content out there.
I'm trying. Well, all right. Everybody have a great day, and we'll catch you tomorrow. See ya!
Keep it moist.
Goodbye.
Okay, bye.